Yeah, is this the party to who I am speaking to?
Yeah, hang on. My, I ran over with my chair, my cord for my headphones.
Joe! Michael!
And it got caught on
Barry's butt. I jump on the first thing I see is Barry's butt. See we switched to Fruit of the Loom. Excellent choice.
There we go. Oh, is that showing? Oh, yeah.
You know, from Hanes. It must have been a sale at Walmart.
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night Killer! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the Aggravated Youper. Tonight, we're prepping for the great fall Youper trip. Michael hates cyclists, and Joel falls in love with the Cracker Barrel. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Hey, welcome everybody to Late Night QRM show number 149 from the Monadnock region in Southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire at Studio N, this is Joel.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor in the virtual Youper studios, the man cave, I'm Michael the virtual Youper.
And we might have Barty tonight. We may not. He's on the West Coast on a business trip, and he said he was going to try. He was going to do a lot of sightseeing today. So I don't know whether, you know, and he's 3 hours behind us, so I don't know whether he's going to make it or not. But
right.
If he does, I ringed him up, so he got the notification that we're on. So anyway, another great week here in the beautiful state of New Hampshire. Temperatures weren't too bad. It got a little warm on Friday. But that was about it. It was pretty nice the other days, and we had a couple big thunder boomers. And did somebody just make a noise? I thought it sounded like somebody was taking a picture.
I wouldn't.
No,
wouldn't
I
many.
Guess not. Okay. I'm used to having Michael be making lots of weird noises in the background.
I'm sorry, I'm behind still here.
Quick, grab the walk.
I'm in the man cave. Noise. What can I do? Make fork.
Anyway, so and of course tonight I have to go to bed right after the show because tomorrow is the big Monadnock half marathon and 5K. And I'm doing the 5K. I'm not doing the half marathon. Even though the half marathon comes up and right past my house tomorrow. But I'll be doing the 5K. And so will your lovely bride be doing the 5K,
yes,
Joel?
Indeed she will.
And so there will be much fun. And then maybe afterwards we'll go take out Peterborough because it's all green tonight.
Yeah, that does actually sound like a good game plan.
Yeah, they were busy this weekend, and I did not have time to go up at any particular time. And right before I came up here on the show, they took out Temple Mountain, which that just irks me. If this was a normal night, I would have been. Right after this, I'd be going up.
And, for our ride around 11:30 at night.
Hey, we just got a comment from Dave on our last podcast because the email just came in for
That's cool.
Right here live, almost live.
Now Dave is live on the show too.
Oh, it says, see, I can find the comments. As I am posting a comment, it is sort of a meta thing.
I'll reply to him live on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. You should do. Tom, we just read his comment on the air.
Yeah, I will do that.
What's tonight's drink of choice, gentlemen?
Oh, I'll start. I've got a lovely Coke Zero with Bacardi rum and Absolute Vodka.
Wow, you got a double banger right there.
Oh, yeah. And it's mostly that. It was just like I still have a half a... I think I still have a half of a can of Coke downstairs.
Well, you don't want to water it down the booth. Jeez.
Well, the Coke was just for coloring.
Exactly, for a little caramelization.
Yes.
Yes, I got you. Much like when I had called you earlier, I finally found the Ezra Brooks Cinnamon Bourbon that I'd been looking for a while. It just seemed like it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find it in the, what do they call it, the soon-to-be-gone shelves at the big state liquor store on Coliseum Ave. So I bought the last three bottles in the entire building.
Wow. Did you find out whether that was it?
I have not. I'm going to go on the website for Ezra Brooks to find out. Maybe I don't know if they've stopped making it. Or
could
is
be
there
just
no
a New Hampshire thing.
Well, it could be. In which case, where the hell am I going to get it? Because I'm actually absolutely hooked on the stuff.
Well, we'll have to do what, like... Anthony's doing. We'll have to take a field trip down to Kentucky, or where are they located?
Oh yeah, well yeah, it's right
we'll
now.
Have to go to Bourbon Country.
I was going to say, now, isn't it, those are usually pretty much one of those distilleries there. It's actually a dry county.
Oh yeah, most of them are in dry counties. I think Jack Daniels is in a dry county too.
Right.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird how that is.
It is rather peculiar.
All the major hard liquor places are in dry counties. Anyway.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah. So anyway, yes, tomorrow... I was going to say... we didn't get to Michael. What's Michael drinking?
I'm drinking cherry Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that's right, because you have a big event going on there, and you could be called out at any moment.
Lots of stupid things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like you know, with those billboards that always have, you know, right at this moment, you know, advertising an area.
Yeah.
Right at the moment, there's lots of drunk mountain bikers roaming through Copper Harbor, which is I have no problem with that, except that I have to be the one to pick up after that.
And I'm going to kill my.
I'll explain. And normally,
I'm killing.
There are literally, you know, probably 1,000 people in town tonight with smartphones, so I don't know what my network looks like.
And Joel, kill your video because Michael's a little in and out. I mean, he's not bad yet, but...
Right. And that's a kind way of saying we don't want to look at your face. Gotcha. I just have to find it. Give me a second here, bro.
Yeah, you got to go up to the top and...
No shit, huh? Really?
And
really?
It floats down, you know. There we go. Oh, that's even worse.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, and just for your information, Dr. Dave has just retweeted my tweet, tweeting his comment live on the show.
All right.
I told him his clerk score must have soared just now.
That's right. I haven't checked mine.
What the hell is ringing in my ears?
The who?
Ding dong dong, ding dong dong. What the hell is that?
Is somebody calling you on Hangout?
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Where do you see that or hear that?
I heard ringing in the headphones here, and no, I didn't bump my head, and I just started on my sippy cup of bourbon, so I don't think it's that either.
Hmm.
What the hell was this ringing? I don't know. It just went away, so...
Okay.
Screw it. If they want to get a hold of me that bad, they'll call me.
They tried. Anyway, so, yes, so tomorrow is the Monadnock Half Marathon. 5K and 5K, and then on Thursday, I've got the big Cigna 5K that I'm going to be running in, and apparently that's a big one in New Hampshire. And matter of fact, the starting time is 6:20, and I said, that's an odd time to start a race. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know why? It starts at 6:20?
Why is that?
Because our local station, our number one news station in New Hampshire, because it's the only news station in New Hampshire, WMUR Channel 9 from Manchester, is a sponsor, and they're going to show the start live on the sports. It starts at 6:20. So look for me on TV. I'll wave as I trip over. Apparently, there's like over 6,000 runners in this one.
As you're getting lapped by a four-year-old.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't run the fastest, but I run. I continuously run. I should try walking this one. I could probably get a better score or better time if I walked it.
Okay.
I'm not fast running. I flipped it over because I'm saying, oh, look, I'm doing like eight and a half minute kilometers, and then I flipped it to miles just to see what that was, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's like a 14-minute mile.
That's good, man. You're moving, though.
Yeah, I'm moving. Barely. That's what, this way, they had one of those radar detector things to tell you your speed on our road. And it didn't even detect me going past.
There is still no motion. There is no motion.
I figured, oh man, it'll tell me what my speed is, and yeah, nothing. I think that had more to do with I didn't have enough metal on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's the story I'm sticking to. Anyway, so yeah, two big races this week. And then I signed up for the virtual August race in Arizona, August race. So I got to do that virtually and get my medal for that. And with bated breath, we wait for August 23rd because that is when Doctor Who comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. And that was a non sequitur. Based on running.
What was that date again?
August 23rd, I believe.
Excellent.
On BBC America.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to put that in my calendar.
Yes. So, and of course, we are starting now because it's where I have to worry about it because, we are planning to go to, Michael's got it down here in the notes, too. What were you calling it? I gotta find it.
The Late Night QRM Roundtable?
Yes.
Didn't give the proper dates on in the last show after saying that we didn't give it on the show before?
Yes, I have to prepare for
September
that.
September 18th is when you're arriving. You're leaving on the 17th. I'm expecting you the evening of the 18th.
Yep.
Plus any other of our podcasting friends if they want to show up.
Right, and I have to...
This is like a roundtable.
And the reason why I have to worry about that now is because 30 days before we go, since we're going to be going through Canada... Take on through the great by God. Take on. It's a beauty way to go. Take on through the great by God. I have to, because I'm going out of country, do all my freaking paperwork at work. Because I'm leaving the country and give them all the gory details, even though it's our good friends, the Canadians, above us. Anytime I leave the country, I have paperwork to do. And then I have to have paperwork to do when I get back to prove that I did exactly what I said I was going to do. It doesn't really matter if you don't do it exactly, but... Anyway, so I got to do that 30 days before we leave, so I have to get that stuff done next week.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
You do, because your estimated departure time is on the 17th, arriving on the 18th.
Right.
That is a Thursday, by the way. And then the official roundtable will be from the Friday the 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
With your departure on the 22nd, leaving to getting back home by the 23rd, is that how you guys got it figured?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, all right.
So,
and again, that's September. That's the part I've kept forgetting to mention for the last two shows.
It is in September. And hopefully we'll catch some colors since we're way up north there, right before we come back home for our colors, because our peak colors don't usually happen until the first or second week of October. So, and the only thing we're praying for is we don't run into a foot of snow.
We won't.
It's August. Or it's September. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a long ride home. Going 2 miles an hour.
Prius digging into the snow. As the wheels stop.
Yeah.
I think we'll have plenty of snow weight on the front wheels. Between you and me and the front of the car, we'll have plenty of snow traction.
I gotta take that in to make sure it's all, check it out, make sure it's ready to go on a long trip.
Sure it is. I'm sure it is.
I may have to get a new belt for it, you know, the...
a serpentine belt.
Serpentine belt, because I think I still have the original one.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. The original one's got 130,000 miles on it.
Yeah, it's 170 some, but that's all
right. I'd probably just for shits and giggles, I might change that.
Yeah, and they'll probably, you know, I'm sure that they're going to charge me probably $1,000 to do that, but.
No, it's $100. $100 for the belt.
Yeah, and 900 to put it on. I can guarantee you. They charge me. Why did we discuss this before? Did I tell you I went and got my cabin? I went online and purchased a couple of cabin filters.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that on the podcast?
No.
Okay. But. Well, you know, every time I went down there, they said, "Oh, would you like to change your cabin us to change your cabin filter?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. Does it need it?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, it needs it." And I said, "Okay, go ahead." And you know, I've had that done a couple of times now, and looked at the bill, and they charged me $90 to do it.
Wow.
And so the last time they said it needed changing, I said, "No, thanks." And I went on. Amazon and picked up I looked it up, and the cabin filter cost $5.95, and so I picked up two of them, and I looked at the instructions on how to do it, and you open the glove compartment and pop out a couple of screws. It might not even be screws, it might be like little nub things in there, and you pop off the cover, take out the old filter, shove in the new filter, close it up, and it takes about 5 minutes to do.
Nice! Yeah. Well, I just happened in that story to look up a 2005 Toyota Prius serpentine belt, which is available on PartsGeek.com for $12.77.
Mm-hmm.
And are $25 from other places. And there is a YouTube video, step-by-step directions on changing out a serpentine belt on a 2005 Prius. In case you were interested.
I bet you they'll charge me about $200 to do it. If they do it.
Why don't you go to Kenny's?
I might do that. I just might do that.
Because, exactly.
You know, that's not that has nothing to do with electronics or anything.
Right.
Unless, of course, when you put on the new serpentine belt, you've got to reconfigure the computer.
Of course you don't.
I don't think so. I remember one time I took it in there, and they said, we got a software upgrade for your computer. And I said, okay. And, you know, it's a software upgrade, right?
Right.
So you think, okay, it's got to be free. I'm in the software business, and, you know, usually upgrades are free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was $175.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
I was arguing with them about that, but I didn't win. I said, really? It's a software upgrade. In other words, you found bugs, you fixed bugs, and now you're upgrading my car. Why are you charging me to fix your bugs?
Wow.
I should get in the software business. Oh, wait.
Enough said.
I guess we do the same thing to the government. I'm not sure.
Now.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so that's a couple things I got to do to prepare for the great Uper trip.
Mm-hmm.
And So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And I'm really excited. I was just talking to Debbie about that earlier today. And I said, you know, in lieu of all the stuff that's going on and surgeries and doctor's appointments and blah, blah, blah. And you know how you can always build it up in your own head like, oh, man, there's about a million reasons why I need to. Well, not a million, but there's a bunch of reasons why. Kind of, you know, scrape up the dough and do this. And he's like, nah. And eventually she's like, you're going on that trip. I don't want to hear about it.
Have you
got? I said, I didn't say I wasn't going because I already took the time off of work.
Yeah. I already told my boss. I said, I'm out.
Yep.
And next week, like I said, next week I'll be talking to security about it. So, yeah. Yep. It's going. The only thing that could stop us is, how's that passport coming?
I haven't heard anything back yet. Still probably processing it.
Okay. I should make it back in time.
Well, it'd just be the long way here.
Uh-oh.
You can get here without a passport.
This is true.
You can we can always go the other way.
But I want a Tim Hortons coffee, damn
me
it.
Me too.
And I have heard so many people, Michael and all of our brothers up in Canada, saying about, oh, Tim Hortons. And being, you know, literally, you know, the grouchy coffee guy, I got to have coffee from there. It's just, it has to be.
But you know what I found out from a couple people at work?
No, what?
There's actually Tim Hortons down here.
Really?
I don't know.
But it's the wrong water.
Yeah, apparently they've got one in New York City and they've got some.
Oh, then it'll taste like sewer rat. No, I'm sorry. We're going to Canada to get a cup of coffee.
But apparently Tim Hortons is expanding. Mm-hmm. So.
Still the wrong water.
And they got donuts.
What's that, Michael?
They got donuts. I said they got donuts.
They got donuts. Oh, we got to get donuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting my tooth fixed so I can have some of those donuts.
And I still want the, what the hell is it called? I forgot already.
Poutine?
Yeah, poutine. That's it. Yeah, we got to get some
which
of
is,
that.
Which is, I was listening to Dr. Dave. And I was also referenced by somebody else in another podcast, which is French fries with gravy on it, if memory serves. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes. And cheese curds.
And cheese curds.
Yeah.
And cheese curds, yes.
But they don't have it down there.
I don't think you can get that at Tim Hortons, though.
No.
Actually,
we got a couple comments that said, no, you can go to McDonald's, but then Dave said, don't go to McDonald's for it.
No, you go somewhere else.
So we'll have to find another, well, maybe a mom-and-pop place or some, or a diner that serves it.
Yeah, I'll shout at diners all day long, you know me.
Yeah. What's that, Michael?
How are you coming across Canada? I think we must have a delay here. How are you going to come across Canada?
I don't know. Whichever way Google tells us.
Actually, Barry does know because Joel researched, stay off, what was it, the 477 or the 417? The one that takes the camera photos of your...
But that's okay, because then they just send us the toll.
They'll mail the toll to you. Well, if you're... Yeah, but...
They haven't mailed it to me yet.
Oh, well, that's because you had a rental car.
I'm still trying to pay the one from Hamilton. I can't find it online. They haven't sent it to me.
I actually read what you sent me, Joel, the link. And they said that the only thing they warned you about is if you have a rental car, they suggest you not take it because they'll take a picture of the license plate and they'll send it to the rental car service or your company. And they generally have anywhere from $15 to $60 administration fee to check onto it.
Right.
With exactly. But if we're taking the Prius,
like $15.
If we're taking the Prius, then it's not a problem. They'll just send me the bill.
Right, they'll send you the toll thing.
Right.
What the hell is that?
It's the Foley artist.
That's me. That's me.
My
beautiful bride has a Stony Field farm. Cowbell.
Oh, cowbell. Oh, that's what we need. More cowbell.
More cowbell.
Well, you know what? Anthony's got the kazoo. I got the damn cowbell.
All right. And I got the soundboard.
Show off. So,
Good day.
So I've added some extra sound effects for our friends up north. Which I have to say, I was telling you guys, when I said that everything I know about Canada, I learned from South Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true, actually. Before South Park, there was Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah, the McKenzie brothers.
The McKenzie brothers. I probably learned more about Canada from those guys. than I did from South Park. But between the two of them, I pretty much, I think I have a good idea of what Canada's
like. You think you got it all dialed in now?
Yeah, I think I do.
Well, as much like before I moved to New England. I mean, when I got the call and it's from my old man way, 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 way far back ago, and he said, hey, come on up to the town up in New England, which is happened to be in Massachusetts, the whole nine yards. And I said, that's great. You just tell me what state is that city in? And he mentioned it to me, and he said, oh, it's in Massachusetts. And I said, that's New England. He goes, yeah. I said, everything I know about New England, I learned from watching Cheers.
Yep, pretty much.
Yep. Wait, we have a late breaking update here.
Okay.
The retweet from Dr. Dave has now been favorited and I think retweeted by the Maharaja Mac Daddy.
All right.
Very cool. It's like interactive. This is pretty. This is like almost in a roundabout way, like going live.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes.
We might have to make the hangout live. I think that's how you record it. I think you got to make the hangout go live.
That'd be cool. Uh-huh.
And then it records it for you.
Everybody can hear our trials and tribulations as we record the show.
I think maybe next week we'll try that. I have to look up on how to do it. So, cool. But that would be cool. Now the only thing, Joel, is that it is video. But
I have electrical tape.
Okay. Well, you can always turn off your camera too.
There's that. I could unplug it.
Yeah. So, but we like your pretty face.
I'm a little creeped out right now. I just want you to know.
So, before I came up here and last Thursday night, I was watching football. Yay! Preseason is here.
I'm
not as excited about it as I was in previous years. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I think that whole thing where, you know, bread and circus or, you know, that whole bread thing. Where,
I thought that was a freaking grocery chain. Grocery store.
where you know, it's actually put out there so that the masses pay attention to that, not all the problems of the country and the world and stuff like that. I'm beginning to believe that might be a true thing. So, not that I really give a damn too much about the problems of the world, because there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I'm just looking at sporting events in a different way. It can be entertaining, but I don't get into it like I used to, especially when, you know, you sit there and cheer for a team and yeah, and then, you know, they win the championship and then half the players leave because they can get more money elsewhere.
Right.
Yeah. It's just not. Yeah. You know, it's fun to watch, but I'm not getting into it like I used to.
I want to, you know, I've made the commitment, actually, I'm going to start going to a lot of farm team hockey games this year.
Ah. But to up to the Monarchs?
Yep. Manchester Monarchs.
Did you hear they may move them?
I was hearing word of that, and I wasn't real happy to hear that.
Yeah, because they're the farm team for the LA Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about maybe moving them out west.
Which would seriously be a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have the Lolok Monsters, but who the hell are they a farm team for?
I didn't even know they existed.
The Lolok Monsters? Yeah. I think they changed the name to something else, but it was the Lolok Monsters.
So, but yeah, because they built that whole stadium, or arena, in Manchester for the Monarchs.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll get another team in here. Excuse me, I was taking a bevy break.
Yes, yes. You know what? Which leads me into, I can't wait till we go into the topic. Well, I was reading the show notes from the Maharaja Mac Daddy as well as Dave about bevy breaks. And, you know, I don't know if those guys were calling them bevy breaks, but I know I mentioned it in the show because that's what my wife always calls them. She says, you need another bevy. And it's been that way for 15 years we've been married.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if
If you looked at the did you follow the link that he put in there?
I did not have a chance. It was on my iPhone.
No, he was calling it a bevy break. It was what the hell was it? A fitness break? Fit? I don't know what it was. I forget what the name of it was now. I'd have to look it up, and I don't have the comments up here. I got too many other things running. But it was a...
They only have seven computers going.
Yeah, right, it was a play on, you know, they got the bevy thing from you.
So, holy crap. Yeah. Wow. I got to give all the credit to my beautiful bride, because I'm not bright enough to come up with anything cool like that.
Oh, man. So, let's see. What else is going? Oh, Michael. Karma comes around on missing bike. Yes. Was there an update for that?
Yeah. What's up with that? Is.
Well, first of all, I had the wrong Amanda. I was thinking this was the wife of the...
Are you there, Michael?
One very nice lady.
Wow. Michael, as usual, when you started to tell a story, you dropped out.
Okay, we'll give Hangouts a chance here. Toy boat. Okay. Is Hang Up keeping up with me now?
Yes. You're good now.
Okay, so first of all, this was not the Amanda I thought it was. And actually, several people sent me a email while we were recording the show last week to say, oh, actually, this is the other Amanda. There's two Amandas in town. Both of them lovely ladies. You know, the last people in the world you'd think anything bad would happen to. Well, the whole community got together, started posting all over the place. And actually, it was Amanda herself that thought, hey, I'll start checking Craigslist listings.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, 2 days later, in Detroit, Michigan, somebody advertised her bike, which was custom built, and they listed every single part of the bike, all the custom features of it. And she called the Detroit Police Department, said, hey, this is my bike that was stolen in Copper Harbor, Michigan. Here's the police report, and I have the receipt for all of these custom items on this bike. So the police department in Detroit called up the Craigslist lister as if they were going to buy the bike, went over there, identified it, and arrested them.
All right.
Nice.
Karma comes around.
Oh, yes. Sweet. That was smart of her to check Craigslist. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
So, and amazing. You know, within 2 days. So they stole, they literally just stole it up here, threw it in their vehicle, drove back to Detroit, and tried to sell it right away.
And I hope that guy sees some time for that.
The $2,000 bicycle. This is not a misdemeanor.
No, it's a grand theft bicycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Grand larceny.
And heaven forbid that person ever gets near the UP again.
Yeah, really.
Then they really find out what karma's like.
Yeah, find out who that individual is, and make sure that his name or her name gets posted throughout Copper Harbor.
And the internet.
Yeah.
And the internet. And the mountain biking community in general.
Right. It's just... Exactly.
So, yes, it's ending. The bike's not back yet, but it's on its way.
Cool.
And okay. We're all happy for Amanda, because that bicycle is her buddy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That may sound weird, but that's...
No, because it's hard to replace stuff like that.
So can you load jack a bicycle?
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
I'm sure you can lowjack anything.
Yeah, you can lowjack motorcycles. You're going to lowjack your bicycle. But the idea was, is you never had to worry about that up in Copper Harbor. Well, I guess you do now because of the tour season. You had all kinds of transients in and out. You're going to have a couple of real...
Couple times a year.
Yeah, a couple of real strange ones coming up in September. I'm telling you. Out east.
And I liked your picture that you had of the bikes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the
pile of bikes.
That was Thursday night. That was just the pyramid of bikes. They filled the bike rack, and then they started stacking the bikes horizontally and then diagonally, and pretty soon it was a Christmas tree of bikes.
That was an interesting
thing. Piling them on.
Yeah, that was neat. So what's going on up there that all these bikes are there?
Well, we are currently hosting, and not by... I mean, it's a fun group of people if it wasn't for the fact that I'm coming at it from the EMS side. Mm-hmm. But we are hosting Single Speed America, which is a certain class of mountain biker. Now, these are the hardcore, because they have one speed.
Hmm.
Wow. Most of them are rigid one speed, hardtail one speed bikes they mountain bike on.
We've been doing that since we were kids back in the 70s. All Schwinn's had one speed. It went as fast as your little feet could pedal it.
Right.
No shocks.
Okay. Yeah, they're going up. And yes, we went up and down mountains, and sometimes the bikes held together. But the big thing with these guys, is that they are legendary for the parties and the drinking and just the overall carousing. I've seen videos of them doing mosh pits on bicycles.
On bikes?
Yes. Just one example. The police were called out numerous times last night. And my beef about the whole thing, and you won't hear me go, this is a rant, but this is a quiet rant. But my beef about it is, so I heard about it. I saw the videos. The club that's sponsoring this apparently didn't do any serious research on this, because this event's held in a different city and generally a different state every year. And there's a reason for that. Talking to many of these people, they basically say, hey, we got the race on Saturday and we're going to trash your town on Saturday night because we won't be back yet. Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Nice.
And some of the people in town took the time to start calling like Chamber of Commerce and Better Business Bureau offices near places where they've been in the past. And yeah, there's been incidents. So they warned me that, okay, so there's, Zix, which is, you've heard me talk about this bar before. It's a nice place. It's the place where all the locals hang out after everything else closes. There are going to be 300 hardcore mountain bikers in there tonight.
Oh, so it's being turned into a biker bar.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And about 3 weeks ago, I started talking to the organizers and saying, hey, you haven't arranged for any EMS in any of this. Oh, we shouldn't need it. Like, what do you mean you shouldn't need it? These guys are legendary.
If I were you, I would have said, okay, you don't need it. I'm leaving for the weekend.
Well, that's what torts me about it, because they basically were talking to the EMS provider up here, and at the very last minute they said, no, we don't need it. We'll just call 911 if something happens. And, it's one thing, everybody EMS-related in this town and fire-related, we do this for emergencies. We do this to be there in case something bad happens. But when you're hosting an event and you know something bad's going to happen by just, sheer numbers, because people are running the edge the time, and you're too cheap to provide backup, that's where it torques us off, because when we get calls, we're walking away from our jobs, we're walking away from everything else. It costs us money. And they're not doing EMS because they want to save money. The race came on and off today without a major incident. So I guess you were worried about nothing. I said, oh, yeah, right. So you played Russian roulette and survived. It doesn't mean there wasn't a bullet in the chamber.
Right.
I said, plus, you've taken advantage of everybody EMS-related in town. We ought to make sure that we had extra people available because you are too cheap to hire somebody from the main office to come here. And I said, and it's not over yet. We got the night to deal with.
Right.
So, I'm torqued. I think they've done a bad job in dealing with this. If their insurance company finds out about it, stuff like this is going to make that club uninsurable. And the point is, I'm in favor of these events. It's good for the town. But taking shortcuts, leaving themselves open for liability and taking advantage of the people who do the volunteering in town, none of that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I got through that without any F-bombs or anything else. Or should I throw those in there for
info? Yeah, go ahead, throw them in.
No.
It's more exciting.
So, yeah, and I talked about that a little bit this week as well. Okay? And I guess I'm getting oversensitive about it, I'm getting sensitized to it, because the EMS issues are coming up, people's computer issues and internet issues are coming up again, and finally, I'm just telling people, hey, every time you hit me with one of these things, I'm walking away from paying work. And you're not compensating me for that paying work I'm walking away from.
Right. So, and someday you may have to stop. Someday you may have to stop doing that because the paying work is more important for your family first.
Well, if I can't pay my bills, and that day is rapidly approaching.
Yes.
It's been a rough year for us.
And
I've flat out told these people, hey, if you still want me around in a year, you have to let me get to what I need to get to here. Anyhow, so they're having a great time in town. They're staggering through the streets. There's partying going on, and after the show, I'm going to go hang out down there a bit to try to keep things from getting out of hand. But I had other things I'd rather be doing tonight, and I'd rather be drinking something other than Dr. Pepper, because Saturdays are normally my night off because of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now that I've totally bored our 6.5 listeners.
No. It's just stuff that goes on in our lives, you know, and then this year's has always got way more interesting stuff than you. I know mine.
No. I'll claim it's where I live. How's that? And you're going to get to sample that.
That's right. You better watch out, because when the Late Night QRM Roundtable gets up there, man, you think we'll these bikers are bad, man.
We can rip it up to about 9:30 and then fall asleep.
We're going to get up there, have a couple beers at the brewery, and pass out.
Exactly.
We're going to turn it up to an 11.
I want 4 fried eggs at my breakfast. You hear me? 4.
I can't wait, guys.
Yeah, we can't either. It'll be fun. I think the whole thing's going to be fun. Finally getting to go up there and see good old Copper Harbor. And traveling through our beloved neighbor up above. And just having a road trip, a long road trip.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Stop worrying about work.
Yeah.
All the crap that goes on there and... just enjoy ourselves. Enjoy, you know, looking out the window and driving, it can be really, really, really therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know, I went out to corporate, rented a car this past week and drove out there. And that's kind of, I'm sorry if I'm jumping out of order, but again, Michael, I wanted to say thank you, because you had mentioned on more than one occasion, but I'm a little thick, so sometimes it takes a while to sink in, that, Slug is Doug is in a podcast you had listened to. Well, I finally took your advice. I heard it once again, downloaded it, and on that long drive, while peacefully looking out the window and enjoying the drive, I marathoned a bunch of them, and I absolutely love that podcast. He is a very cool guy.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. I need to go back and get some of the older ones myself. I've been just, I kind of just hooked in a couple of weeks ago, and have liked it, loved it actually. And yes, a new one came down today, I believe. And unfortunately, I'm a little behind on some of my podcast listening, so it's in the list. I haven't gotten to it yet, but it just came down today. But I will, in the next couple of days, probably catch up to it. So it's on the list. It's like sixth on the list right now, and I don't like the other ones to get too old, so I usually listen in chronological order.
Yep, try to.
So, but I will get to it, because it's a fun one to listen to. So, yep. Let's see. I'm reading down. We do have show notes. Michael added a bunch of show notes here.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I'm busy.
So,
what do you got?
What's this MMD suggested? LNQRM CPB.
This past week, while I was on the road, go figure. MMD said, I guess a little background here. If you've been listening to the Love Hate podcast from Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of episodes ago, Anthony announced that he was going to stop hosting in the Canadian podcast Buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're deciding whether they're going to look for another host. I mean, obviously, Anthony's going to move on to something else, and you should go and listen to that show to hear, you know, why he's not doing it anymore. But MMD threw out a tweet this I think it was this week. This whole road trip stuff in the last 6 weeks is kind of running together with me. Yeah. But pretty sure it was while I was in Minneapolis that MMD said, you know, either, and I'm trying to remember who it was in Canada, he was suggesting take over hosting the show, or the late night QRM guys. And I responded back to him right away. I said, well, you know, I don't know if that counts because we're not Canadian. Although a good deal of what we listen to is Canadian content, but and he came back right away and said, "Well, that would be cool because that'd be a unique angle on Canadian podcast buffet because it's people from outside of the country listening to Canadian podcasts."
Hmm.
So it was an interesting thought.
That was an because I was going to say, you even really want...
If we were guest hosts for a show, we could have fun with that. Maybe they'd never listen to us again. But.
I was going to say, you really want people that the only thing they know about Canada came from South Park and Bob and Doug McKenzie to host...
And listening to Rush.
Yeah, listening to Rush. Exactly. Well, we're all big Star Trek fans, too, so we like William Shatner.
Yes. And,
actually, I used to watch a bunch of Canadian shows. We've gone over that before, because we used to get... When I had the big dish, I used to be able to get the CBC, and we actually liked the shows up there. Some of the shows up there. And, so... Maybe I do...
Yeah, anyhow, so that was what that comment was about.
Okay. Interesting.
Kind of going out of order here. I will get one thing in. You know, we were talking about Little Timmy stories last week. And
okay. Yeah.
And I was telling you in the pre-show that was still recorded, so it wasn't pre-show, but that I had a Little Timmy story for the show, and then I never got around to it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I was standing on a ladder up on a Broccoli Mountain. But my Little Timmy story of all Little Timmy stories was when I was manager of R&D at U.S. Robotics. I was flying all the time back and forth between the Midwest and the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of these flights, I was up in business class, which didn't happen very often. But, you know, it was two across. And they put this, like, 12-year-old from hell next to me. I mean, this was before, way before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And the parents basically dumped this kid off at the terminal, terminal lounge, to go visit grandma or something. And they kept bouncing him around the plane until they finally sat him next to me. And this is before I had kids. Mm-hmm. And finally, this is the only place they could put him. And I'm trying to work. I'm on my compact laptop.
Oh, geez.
And this kid, he's kicking the chair in front of him. He's bouncing, you know, he keeps leaning his chair back, you know, knocking everything off, you know, and the people behind him. And all the people sitting around me think I'm his father. So they keep giving me shit. And I finally get to the point where I can't work. Hmm. So I take my laptop, I throw it in my Targus, you know, travel bag, mm-hmm. like every other businessman had back then.
Right.
Set it down on the floor in front of me, and at one point this kid looks at me and he takes his full glass of Coca-Cola and pours it over the top of the zipper of the Targus cargo bag.
I'd have smacked the shit out of that little kid without even missing a beat.
The thought had occurred to me. I think at that point one of the stewardesses actually saw it happen, and mm-hmm. the child was relocated to another part of the plane, never to be seen again by me.
Bringing the luggage compartment underneath the landing gear.
Hell, I would have hoped.
I got back from the trip, handed this Targus bag with the compact, which had now melted down, handed it to the IT manager and said, "This is what a 12-year-old would do to your compact computer on a plane." Recover my hard drive, please.
Oh, God. It
destroyed the laptop. That was like a $2,000 loss.
I would have found the people coming to pick up the little kid at the airport and said, "Your kid did this to my computer."
And smacked the shit out of them, too.
Yeah. that's my Little Timmy story.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the joys of planes, trains, and automobiles.
Oh, God. It's funny you mentioned that, because I once took a bus ride from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Actually, I was out of Norfolk, Virginia, all the way up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That went by way of Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I have never been on, you know, it's a Greyhound bus. It's, you know, that's before they put TVs in the seat back, in the headrest of the seat in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a spot to plug in your ear or your earbuds or something. This is just when the buses were a bus that had a bathroom.
Yep.
And air conditioning, and you read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Or you played on your PDA or what have you back then. And, see, two drunk guys got on the bus in D.C., and were in a full-fledged fight. By the time we got to Philadelphia, with a woman wearing, and I love this, wearing a fur coat who was acting all snooty. I'm like, lady, you're riding on a Greyhound bus. You're not rich. If you were, you'd be in your Bentley right now, mm-hmm. not riding on the Greyhound bus going to Philadelphia. Mm. And, yeah, it was like a scene out of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Honestly, it's, you just want to go for a simple bus ride, and ended up taking 14 hours, and... boy, I walked away with that one with a shitload of memories.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the old days, and I'm, when I say that, I'm talking about my parents' days, you know, back in the, 30s and 40s, bus rides, they used to have really nice buses, and they had almost like a first class in the bus, and they were actually, you know, nice. It was like, well, even, well, planes were even nicer back then. But, yeah, buses.
Well, you dressed up. I mean,
yeah, you got dressed up.
You wore your good dress clothes to go on a trip.
Right. And bus, you know, taking a bus used to be really nice. Now it's like, yeah.
It's the cheapo way out.
Yeah, exactly.
If I got to get from A to B and I don't want to do the driving and I want to do it on, you know, for short dough, yeah. Take a bus.
Right. Right. So. And yeah, again, I like taking trains. I think trains are fun.
Yep.
But and I was considering taking a train down to when I visited my sister down in South Carolina, mm-hmm. and I said, yeah, it's going to take 19 hours to get down there, but you know, it would be, you know, it'd just be an adventure. It'd be neat,
exactly.
You know, and everything.
They looked at how much they charge.
Yeah, it was like half the price to fly down there, even though you have to.
I actually was, when I was going, I have to actually take another trip back down to Mooresville, North Carolina for some more certification. And quite frankly, I thought, well, hell, you know what? I might cut out of work a day early and take the train down mm-hmm. rather than fly down and just chill out and yeah. you know, enjoy a train trip. And only to discover that it costs damn near the same price as airfare.
Oh, the one down to South Carolina was almost twice the price of the airfare. Mm. I mean, it was like, you know, well, then again, I was looking at getting a sleeper car because it was 19 right. hours, you know, right. or whatever, right. you know, and it was going to be overnight. So, but yeah, you get a sleeper car. I guess that's like flying first class, you know, you get a car. And even, yeah. but they have two different types of cars you can get or rooms you can get.
Oh, they do?
And was- yeah. And the cheaper room was still way more expensive. I said, I just, you know, I can't justify the expense.
Not to mention all the people that would trip, because at 6'8", there's no way in hell you could actually lay down in any kind of bunk in the car. So you'd have to have the door to the little room open, yeah. lay down on the floor, and your feet getting out into the hallway. Or people would trip it over.
Yeah, I think I'd be laying in it curled up or something. Definitely. Yeah. But it just seems like, I don't know, because we took the train up here when we lived down in Virginia, and we came up here, we used to come up here for vacations to New mm-hmm. England, and we took, 1 year we did take a train ride. We went from Washington, D.C.'s, I forget what that frickin' name of the train station is down there, but up to Boston, and yeah. It was pretty cool, except for in New York, they stopped, and the train gets divided up, and mm-hmm. One goes up the coast, and the other goes inland to Vermont, and then yep. across to Maine, and depending on where you wanted to go, you had to figure out what part of the train you needed to be on, because they really didn't tell you.
You well, guessing go, is fun.
You had to go ask, you know? Sorry. But,
So you either ended up in Boston or Vermont.
Well, Maine, Vermont, yeah, exactly. So I don't think they do that anymore, but back then, that was back in the mid to late 80s. No, actually mid to late 90s.
That was the 80s, man. That was a while ago.
Yeah, actually early 90s. Early 90s right. when that would happen. But I really loved the train ride. It was fun because you don't have the stress of driving and everything. Yeah, it takes as long on the train as it does to drive up there, right. especially going north. Going south, well, now they got the Accelera, which you can get from Boston down to D.C., I believe, in 5.5 hours, which isn't bad because you know what? When I fly, it takes me that long to get down there. It's only an hour in the air, but it's getting to the airport, getting there an hour early, you know, going through security.
Oh, yeah. Security. Oh,
yeah. It's 5.5 hours, you know. And I said, yeah, jump on the train. And you know, that was tempting. The only problem is coming back takes 9 hours because you don't...
It's uphill.
Well, yeah, it's uphill.
both ways.
You can take the accelerator down, but usually, you know, this was a business trip, so I could take the accelerator down, but then coming back, I'd be coming back at night, and the accelerator stops running at night, so you're on the regular train, and they even stop the expresses, so you stop at every train station on the way up, and it takes like 9 hours to get up to Boston from D.C.,
right,
with the regular train. But that's still not that bad, because it takes you from D.C., it takes you 9 hours to get up to Boston anyway, in a car. So,
yep. And it's still uphill.
Yeah, both ways.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked plenty of times about our experiences flying and how we hate it, especially regional flying.
I'm not looking forward to this trip coming up. I am not looking forward to it at all.
Yeah. Hmm. I wonder if we can take a train to Copper Harbor. We probably could take a train out there, but then we'd probably still be like 9 hours away from Copper Harbor, wherever the train stopped.
Yeah, it doesn't come very close anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the train used to come all the way up to Calumet.
Yeah.
And people used to take trains from Boston to Calumet all the time. 1800s, really? Early 1900s, yeah.
Yeah, well, they used to... People used to take trains rides from Jaffrey up to Peterborough and Concord and stuff, but they're all trails now.
It was Boston Money that owned all the copper mines up here.
Oh, that's right. So they probably did, yeah.
I'm not kidding. Yeah, it was a regular route. Lots of people would come from the East Coast, and they'd go to the cultural center of Calumet.
Wow. That's interesting, yeah, because that's you explained already to us why you're still on East Coast time up there.
Yep.
Because of that. Because, yeah, you're way too far west to be on East Coast time. But anyway, okay, let's see what else we got here. A week on the road without a service engine light. Yay!
Yeah, I kept waiting for it to happen. But
wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is the first story of our version, segment. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. The rum and vodka is getting to me now. Bottom gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Troll, and we have a few stories to tell. Michael, take it.
Okay. And I'm your other guest host, Michael, the Virtual Uper. And tonight, in the tale of travels of Michael, as you know, for the last 6 to 8 weeks, I've been like on the road, which used to be the story of my life before children, but I tried to change that since the boys have arrived in our family. And for the last 6 to 8 weeks, just about every vehicle, no, not just about every vehicle I have driven eventually has had the service engine light come on while I've been driving it. And I think at one point I told my wife, I said, it must be the vehicles. And she goes, no, it's just you. But so in this particular vehicle, it's a 1999 Cadillac DeVille, which is a company car for one of my customers. Isn't normally the type of vehicle I would be driving, but I must say, now that everything's fixed and I can travel from point A to point B and still have to hit the accelerator, it's really a comfortable vehicle. And it was getting between 25 and 27 miles to the gallon on the highway.
Mm.
It's a lot of car to get that good of gas mileage.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of engine in it, too. But I do think this is that variable cylinder thing.
Yeah.
You know, that probably runs a little better variable cylinder than my Jeep does.
Well, it wasn't designed with variable cylinder. It just kind of defaulted that way.
It evolved into a variable cylinder engine. But there, that doesn't say that it hasn't been without excitement. And the big thing about this vehicle is, you know, they've been replacing parts as they find that need to be replacing, but anything cable related in the vehicle seems to be seizing up in the wrong position. Mm-hmm. And the emergency brake cable just snapped, so we just kind of left it off at this point.
It was resting.
But the other thing that's causing me some grief as I was doing this trip is I'd be going down the interstate, you know, in Minnesota at 70 miles an hour. You'd hit a bump, and the hood latch would release.
Jesus!
You would come up against the safety.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd be trying to find a place to go pull over safely and hope that the safety would hold. Because, you know, every time you hit a bump on the road at 70 miles an hour, the whole hood would go, and come up against the safety again. Uh-huh. And I could just see it bouncing free. It's like, well, the safety's supposed to do its job. Well, on the other hand, the hood latch was supposed to do its job, too. It let loose. I could just see the hood coming up and folding back against the windshield. And it did that several times during the week. It just totally random times. Like, at one point, I drove through Minneapolis and around the city a couple times over a couple days, and as I pulled into the parking spot at work and stopped and put it in drive, the hood went bink. Oh, okay.
You know, I don't want
to. Other than that, it's been less than exciting.
I don't want to say anything too bad, Michael, but maybe you've got to take the approach and maybe go to your employer or your customer there that allows you to have a company car to travel. And maybe mildly suggest that maybe it's time for a new company car. Yeah, you know, just saying, you know.
You know, I gotta jump on this bandwagon real quick. Ever since I've heard Dave and Anthony and Bob say "just saying," I catch myself saying "I'm just saying" about 100 times a friggin' day.
I picked up on that too.
I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you know, compared to driving the Jeep, this was a dream. Well, and I love my Jeep, but
yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but you know, when there's 3.5 feet of snow on the ground and it's actively snowing a foot every 13 seconds in Copper Harbor, I really don't think the Caddy's going to get you where the Jeep can, even still on two cylinders.
Well, the Jeep won't even make it back to my house. I mean, excuse me, the Caddy won't even make it back to my house. That's
right.
That's a four-wheel drive road at this point between US 41 and my cabin.
But
I did get through the entire week without the service engine light coming on, so I'm proud of myself.
It makes the trip more pleasant.
When you're wondering,
am I going to make it there, or is this going to turn into a fiasco?
Well, you know, I really didn't have a schedule this week, which is probably why I got there just fine, because I really had all the time in the world. I had a lot to do this week, but I had all the time in the world to get to where I was going. Kind of coming back was a little more important. I needed to be back here for this event this weekend. But, if something happens, something happened. I just call up my customer and say, car broke down.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. Deal with it.
Oh, by the way.
Jeez. Wow. Okay.
So back to my co-host, Jim Gear, Joel. Great job. What do you have to add this week?
You know, it's not like a whole lot. I mean, a show ago, I believe I mentioned that where I am currently undertaking the late night QRM Operation Jeep. And or Project Jeep. And I did not have an opportunity to work on it today. Didn't make it up there to get worked on. So it's kind of it's moving slowly. It's aging like a fine wine. So it's still in the works. As a matter of fact, while doing this, I'm looking at Jeep parts right now on J.C. Whitney. But to add to Bottom Gear, the only thing that I had was, have you ever had one of those times when you had a tire that had a slow leak.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go out, you know, you drive all day, you go to work, you come out, and you look, and you go, oh, crap, the tire's looking a little low. Now, I always keep a tire gauge and air compressor and all that kind of stuff in the car with me, but, you know, check it, like, oh, look, it's done to 19 pounds per square inch of air. Oh, great. So you have, take the time, fill it up, I'll top it off at 35 PSI, and then you get going. And until the next morning when you got to get up, you know, you have your coffee, get ready for work, you go out and go, oh, man, I got to fire the air compressor back up in the garage, drag the hose out, and put air in the tire. I did this for about a week and a half.
I'm sorry. I'm going to last in one day.
I honestly, guys, I was trying to find the time
yeah.
to go and get the tire fixed. And I'm very, very, very particular about tire repair. Way back in the day in high school, mm-hmm. I worked at a garage. I've worked at several garages mm-hmm. Over the years, and I have busted, and that's the term, busting tires. I have busted a lot of tires off the rim, mm-hmm. mounting, balancing, and I've patched.
Mm-hmm.
Patched and plugged. Probably more tires than people have ever changed in an average person's life.
Right.
And that's because it was my job. Understandable.
I used to plug tires.
Well, when you patch a tire, mm. you take it off the rim, you find the hole, you patch it with cement from the inside.
Right.
You rough the rubber, patch it, right. cement it, and then you fill it with air, mount it to the rim, balance it, and it's done. And those patches tend to hold a lot stronger than a plug.
Right.
I've had plugs pull out, leak right. out, yep. wiggle around. So I'm like, I'm not going to plug it. I want it patched. However, finding the time, and I bought the tires up at our local Pep Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally got over there and said, hey, I got a slow leak. You guys mind taking a look at it for me? I was just going to take it off the rim and take the car, you know, take the tire off the car, throw it in the back of Debbie's car and drive over. But it was on one of those moments when I was like, ah, screw it. I'll just drive over there and let them put it up on the lift. Well, holy crap, did that ever take 2.5 to 3, almost 3 hours. I'm sitting there in the waiting area, and I'm like, I should have taken the tire off the rim and just brought it over and dropped it off.
Mm.
But it was done. And that's, you know, to add to stories for Bottom Gear, that's all I really got. Aside from the fact, and I didn't think I was going to say, this car's running great. I have no engine light, no lights coming on of any kind, sort, of any which way. But I'm getting a little tired of driving it.
Hmm.
I'm getting a little... And you guys know how I am. I mean, I've owned 39 cars since I was legally legal to drive. So I go through cars like most people go through, I don't know, houseplants. I buy it, drive it for a while. I like it. I fix it. I get tired of it, sell it, and go buy something else.
I've owned six.
Six.
I've had six cars my entire life.
I've had 39.
I was mentally going through that and said, how many cars have I had? And the number was six.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would have, at any given point, I'd have two or three cars.
Oh, see, I only have one car at a time. I'm not counting my wife's cars. I'm just counting the cars I drive.
Yeah, but you had your truck, so, I mean, you had your
F-150
and the Prius at the same time.
So yeah, but...
You have had two at
a time. I've had two at once, but... And I counted both of those.
There you go. And that's still up to six.
I've had two Prii. Yeah, I've had... I started off with a Chevy Impala station wagon, which was nicknamed the Enterprise because it was big white, and it had the tailgate that went down underneath and the window that went up into the roof. So it kind of reminded us of the where the shuttle would launch from on the USS Enterprise.
Okay.
So we nicknamed it the Enterprise because it was a big white. It had a 400 cubic inch, 4-barrel carburetor engine in it. You know, you pressed down on the gas pedal, you took off, and you know, you watched the gas needle go down a quarter of a tank. Yeah. But it was okay because gas only cost 32 cents a gallon back then.
Right.
And then I moved from that to I had a car in Japan.
Uh-huh.
Which was a Toyota. And I forget what the
model was. This is my surprised face.
I don't... can't see you. We have the cameras off. And of course, here's Barty.
Barty.
Hey, Barty. Barty. Barty, we can't hear you.
For a change.
Barty, you have audio problems. We can't hear you. You're muted. Well, as Barty works out the audio problems, then Japan, of course, naturally that stayed in Japan, and I came back. I had a Chrysler LeBaron station wagon. It was one of those K cars. It was before the LeBaron. It was a LeBaron Town and Country, which was before it turned into a minivan. And then I had the truck, the Ford F-150, and then I had my first Prius. And then I have my second Prius.
Well, it's good to be able. What's the word I'm looking for? It's easy to look back and see the history. By the time from the ages of 15 and a half to the ages of 18, I had a 69 Chevelle.
I think Barty's live.
Yeah,
it's Google's fault. They don't play nice with apples.
Oh, okay.
The standard Apple application will accept whatever settings you have in system preferences, but Google insists upon doing it the Microsoft way and have every single app have to be adjusted. So anyway, continue on there.
Okay. I was just reviewing cars, and I actually said this to my wife about a week ago. I said, I wish the hell I still had some of the cars that I had when I was young and dumb with no money in my pocket, no brains on how to fix it, because I had some sweets. I had a 69 Chevelle Super Sport with a 396, 72 Monte Carlo, 1970 nice. Chevelle, a 69 Nova. I had a 68 Barracuda. I had a 76 Monza Spider that I put a 383 stroker motor with nitrous in.
Motor?
Yeah, if you take a 350
that sounds Chevy, nasty.
A 350 Chevy small block, you bore it 30 over. So you hear guys say, it's bore 30 over. Now it's a 355 cubic inch. Now if you take the crankshaft from a 400 Chevy small block, take it to a machine shop and have it turned down, that changes the displacement because the pistons, it almost goes higher in the cylinder head to 383, and it's called a stroker motor because the pistons travel an extra long stroke, higher compression. You get 13.5-to-1 compression in each cylinder. So it's a stroker motor, and it was a radical bitch. I could lift the front wheels off the ground when I used to pop the clutch in that car.
But
yeah, boy, I missed that guy. I mean, I didn't miss the 9 miles to the gallon on the highway. But
back then, gas was probably cheap enough where it didn't matter.
You know what? I remember going down to Carnes.
Shell was still expensive.
Yeah, I was going to Carnes. Well, they still had regular, and that's what I used to run in my cars, regular, not unleaded. But I would go down to Carnes Food Store in Pennsylvania with $2. I'd buy a pack of Marlboro Reds and then go and buy 5 gallons of gasoline and still end up with like 8 cents change. I got smokes and gas and was cruising for the whole weekend, for the whole day on $2.
Yeah. Well, I've said this many a time on here. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to pull into the Sunoco station and say, fill it up for $2, whichever comes first.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, the number for me, I just ran through real quick, but I believe it's a dozen vehicles I've had.
I'm proud of you.
Just running through the list real quick. 66 Buick Special with a Wildcat 300 engine in it.
Nice.
A 65 Corvair.
Ooh.
That I converted from a two-speed automatic to a four-speed manual Spider. Now, that was a job because of all the linkage that you had to put together. Back. And the paint I got from J.C. Whitney. And I actually drove to J.C. Whitney to pick it up.
No.
And I'll tell you, that is not a place you want to leave a vehicle unattended. A 67 Chevelle that I put a 327 4-bolt main engine in that I rebuilt.
Nice.
71 Buick LeSabre that was a in-between car.
That's a nice car.
It was a great car until I got the famous barn vehicle that nobody knew about, the 72 Opel GT. That was an awesome car.
I remember you talking about that in a podcast.
Yeah. Then there was in-between vehicle. Well, actually, there was a 72 Nova SS. Again, I rebuilt the engine on that one. 1970, I think it was a 70 or 69 Delta 88 with the 455 Super Rocket engine.
Yep.
And then I bought one of the last... one of the last International Scouts off the line in 1978. 1981 Dodge D50, which is the Mitsubishi.
Yep.
Then a 1987 Dodge Colt for 1 year, and I realized that's just not me. And traded that in and bought a 1988 Dodge D50, again Mitsubishi.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the 88 D50 up until I bought my Jeep in 2001.
No kidding. Wow.
So the transition to vehicles slowed down considerably towards the end there. But
yeah,
by my count, that's a dozen vehicles I've had so far. Wow.
Yeah, I've slowed down. Well, actually, no, I haven't slowed. I did slow down a bit. I mean, my wife says to me, she says, you know, I think I had my own line, my own window for registering cars at City Hall.
They knew you by name. Yeah, you just walked in.
Hey, Joel. Like, oh, what'd you get now? And it's like, well, what, they thought I, at one time they thought I was a used car salesman. I'm like, no, I just buy them. I drive them until I don't like them. Then I sell them or I blow them up. And you buy them for cheap, you know, and then just fixing it up enough to drive it around. Well, I mean, my good friend Kenny, who owns a garage here in Jaffrey, I mean, that's where I got my Jeep from. He's sitting on, what, half a dozen Jeeps right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, a D50 bulldozer, couple of trucks, a few other cars. I mean, it's just you collect them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what do I feel like driving today?
Right. I just remember the Toyota car I had in Japan. It was a Carina, which they didn't sell on this side. It was a 75 Toyota Carina, which I guess their version of the Corolla, I guess.
Corolla, right.
But they called it the Carina over there.
Too cool.
Of course, it was right-hand driving.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the outside rear view mirrors all the way up on the front of the car, like the Japanese put them. You know.
Yeah, I had a Toyota when I was over there as well.
Yeah.
Bought it from a guy from a dealer named Tomo Beppu. I don't still remember that name.
Is that the one right outside the base?
Yeah, yep, right. Over by Pony.
I swear to God, they just recycled the cars there, because that's where we got that one, and then when we left, it went right back to that lot. So, yep.
So basically, it was just a long-term rental.
Yeah.
His big line was, must make paperwork. Must make paperwork. And he was trying to sit you down and hurry up and get you to buy the car.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was pretty much the only place to buy a car over there at the time. Jeez. Yeah. Classic. So.
Good time. So that's all I got for bottom gear.
So, Barty, how many cars have you had?
Well, let's see. My first car was a 67 Volvo, the model that came out right after the bathtub one. That was a fun car. It had four in the floor with a 2 foot long shift lever.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a really neat car. I enjoyed that. It was one of the funniest things about that car was that it had hydraulically assisted brakes. So when the car was off, you didn't have any brakes, which generally most times isn't that big a deal.
Hmm.
I had left New Hampshire, and the car was still up at an apartment in Boscawen, and my dad went to go get it, and for some reason it stalled out when he was coming towards a hill, so he figured, no problem, he'll just glide down the hill. Of course, he didn't know that about the brakes.
No.
He had a hell of a time stopping that thing, because it was a long, steep hill.
Jeez,
that's probably what led to him having a heart attack a few years later.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Yeah, that was a really sweet car. It was like cherry red and stuff.
Hmm.
The next car I got was, most of the cars I've had have been pretty plain machines. Yeah. The next one was a a Datsun 510. I forget what year it was. It was a station wagon one, and that was really kind of neat because I put like little curtains on the window so I could go camping with it and just sleep in the back when you fold the back seats down. Enough room back there for that. So I drove that thing all over the place because it was pretty cheap on gas. Yeah. Not that gas was that expensive at the time. But after that, I picked up a 67 Beetle that I absolutely loved. It was the most favorite vehicle of all the ones I've had. That was just too freaking cool. And then that was followed up by a Ford LTD with a 351 Cleveland in it. I just had to let my father-in-law have it because he just fell so much in love with it that he kept begging. So he traded even that for a Chevy pickup, which kind of worked okay because I had just joined the Air Force and wasn't supposed to have my wife at tech school, but I had her come down anyway and got an apartment off base and things. Mm-hmm. So the guys at the dorm covered for me, you know, as I ran onto the base every morning, made muster. The agreement was that they would take care of me if I would let them come over to the apartment and take care of them. So, you know, they would come by and we would give them a nice home-cooked meal and stuff like that, and they could kick back and things, and they kind of dug that. So
that works.
Yeah, it worked out good for me. Yeah. So, of course, when it came time to go to my first duty assignment, they weren't going to pay for Tony because she wasn't supposed to be there. So I just took the travel money they gave me and bought this LTD and drove it up to Missouri from Shepherd Air Force Base in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, and the first time we drove it to New York, that was when my father-in-law wanted it. So I traded him the car for the a Chevy pickup. So, you know, I was able to bring the rest of our crap with us back to Missouri because, you know, I wasn't going to fit it in the car, but with the truck, I had plenty of room now. So we crammed it all in the back and away we went.
Jeez.
So, and then that was after that we went to Japan and we had the Toyota there. We came back to the States to California, out at Edwards, and I picked up a brand new, what was that? It was a Ford model. I can't remember what model it was, but we had that for a while, and then I picked up a used Oldsmobile Cutlass just to bum around in because it was a fun car.
Huh. I should know. I know that. I'm driving one now.
So the Ford, even though being brand new, started to have problems, so I just got rid of it and kept the Cutlass. And the Cutlass was the car that we drove all the way from Edwards up to Eielson. We went all the way up through the west, up into Montana, and across into Canada there, and went up and caught the very beginning of the Alaska Highway and drove that car all the way to Eielson.
Wow.
Yeah, we kept that car for quite a long time. Wow.
Incredible.
That's too cool. That is too cool. Wow.
Yeah, and then after that, we replaced that with a Nissan Sentra for my wife, and I bought a used F-150 for myself that from a guy in the shop I worked in. He had offered it up to a group of kids to paint on. They were having an art fair one year before we got there, and whoever was supposed to give them the donate a vehicle for them to paint on had changed his mind at the last minute. And so Marty, being a nice guy, decided that he would just let them paint his truck. Mm-hmm. So I had this whole psychedelic-looking truck that I was driving on and off his military base with. And I kept that truck, and I drove that damn thing. It was an 86. I drove that thing, and this was like at the time, it was like in the mid-90s. I drove it all the way across Canada, even though the same part kept breaking over and over again. And we had it fixed before we left Alaska. It broke down in Windsor. We had to have it fixed there. And it was really kind of neat because the guy in the garage felt kind of bad for us, so he kind of helped us get a decent price at a local hotel because I guess a buddy of his ran the place and stuff. Uh-huh. You know, and he gave us all a ride, you know, because I had my wife and kids with us. My wife was driving the Sentra, and I was in this big truck. And so they set us up in this hotel and stuff, and had to get a part in it. We were there for like a couple of days, you know. And then we continued once the part was fixed, and we continued on back to the Northeast. And I kept that truck for couple of years until that part started to go again, and I figured, well, I'm not going to mess with this anymore because this is just going to keep happening. So I traded it in for another F-150, a newer one, one that was only just two or three years old.
Right.
And that one I had to sell because of a rather unfortunate accident with clam chowder that we've always referred to as the clam chowder incident. I had gone to work one day and parked it in the sun and had clam chowder that I had brought with me for lunch that I had forgotten on the passenger seat. Well, it got to be rather hot that day, and with the sun beating down and with the truck with the windows being shut, because we had like a parking garage, and I used to like parking up on the roof. I don't know why, I don't know, but I did. So when I got for lunch, I just went to the cafeteria and got something because I was too lazy to drag my ass all the way out. Despite being a fairly young guy at the time, walking out and retrieving my lunch, I just got something from the cafeteria and just figured out the heck with it. Well, that was a bad decision. It turned out to be a major mistake because at the end of the day, when I got out of work and got back to the truck, lo and behold, the thermos had gotten so hot that the cap had burst off of it, and I had clam chowder all over the seat and stinking to high heaven. And I had to drive home with the window. I couldn't use the air conditioning because I had to drive home with the windows all open because the smell was that bad. And the smell never went away, no matter what we did. We tried to clean that seat with all kinds of things that we could think of, and things that people suggested. We could not get the stink to go away enough to where you could be able to drive it with the windows up. So we decided to trade it, and we drove to the dealer with the windows down, so it was fairly aired out and wasn't too noticeable. I mean, if you sniffed real hard, you might think, "Oh, there's something funky about this," you know, but you didn't notice it. And I bought a brand new F-150 to replace that one. That was a short bed truck with the biggest V8 that they had at the time. Mm-hmm. That was a fun truck to drive, let me tell you. But, when he put the windows up at the end of that day and went back to it the next morning, he must have got quite a surprise. And I can imagine if he let the truck sit there for two or three days before he opened it up. It would have been a major stink.
Oh, my God. That's too funny.
Don't mess with clam chowder. It's been hot summer days, man. There's nothing you can do to save your vehicle after it's gotten that stink in it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's incredible. That's a good story.
Yeah, the clam chowder incident.
Oh, wow.
I kept the F-150 till it started to die.
Yeah.
And still stuck with Fords, though, because I replaced it with a Ford Ranger. And, of course, the Ford Ranger's problem wasn't its fault. It was mine. Mm-hmm. I rolled it one winter on the way to work. It had been unusually light, because if we'd had a normal winter with heavy snow, the snowbanks would have been big enough to stop me. But there was ice out in the road that morning. I'm coming down a hill, and even with four-wheel drive, you're not getting any traction on just glare ice. It was just black ice laying on the road, and the truck spun around and went off the road sideways and down an embankment and rolled over three or four times.
Jeez.
Yeah, tell you, man, seatbelts save your lives.
Yeah.
But, everything in the truck was all like flying all around. I could see everything just coming back around two or three times.
Oh, God. So,
when it finally came to a stop, it was laying on the passenger door, and I had to figure out a way to get the driver's door to pop up because it was now like a tank hatch, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't have any kind of spring, obviously, to stay open.
Yeah.
So I had to find something to stick into the side of it so it wouldn't keep shutting. And collected up my tell you how dazed I was. The only things I was really worried about was my iPod and my lunch.
Oh, jeez.
I fished those out of the bottom, which, you know, the floor was now the passenger window. And I grabbed the two of them, and I made my way up out of the out of the truck, and I was just climbing back up the top of the embankment when the plow truck was coming by, sanding the road.
Oh, you know,
if I hadn't left early for work that day, I would have been coming to work on a sanded road. So don't try to get to work early. It just doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the insurance fixed the truck, and a couple of weeks later, the engine went out on it, and the insurance fixed that too because they said it was, this was Geico, they said that it was caused by the accident.
Right.
And, everything was okay for a while until I started noticing about 5 or 6 months later that the passenger side door wasn't shutting right anymore. It was still shutting, but, you know, you get to know a vehicle and you know that that it's just not shutting right, and it was slowly getting worse. The bed of the truck was also starting to look a little crooked, you know. I was at my office window, which is up on the second floor, looking down at it, and you could see that it was a little crooked. But if you're standing next to it, you can't tell.
Right.
So I went and traded it in. That's when I got the Jeep. And the Jeep's been pretty good.
Wow.
And did the dealer go, aren't you the clam chowder guy?
Well, that was in New Hampshire. And I traded the Ranger in here over in New York. So I haven't been back to that dealer that I traded that truck in at all.
That's too funny. Aren't you the clam chowder guy?
Hey, we still got that truck here.
They use it as a shop truck now, right?
Yeah, on warm days when they don't have to have the windows up.
It's our loaner. We always get it back.
Oh, jeez.
That is pretty classic.
Classic, jeez.
Yeah, we did have a Mazda Miata for a few years as an extra car that we were bumming around in.
Cool cars.
Yeah, Tony and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And she used to go, we used to drive back to New Hampshire a lot, and she would be passing people going uphill on some of the mountains in Vermont. It was just funny as hell.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, they're neat little cars. There's a couple people have them at work, and to me, that would be the kind of car you have for the, for the weekend, you know?
Yeah, we kind of bought it for that when we were in New Hampshire, but when we moved back to New York, it was not really very practical because you can't go anywhere with it in the wintertime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the snowbanks are higher than the car is. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you ever went off the road and went into a snowbank, they wouldn't see you again until spring.
That's true. That's true. Oh, wow.
Well, Mike knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Of course, in Mike's snowbanks, you'd lose a truck in those.
Yeah, that was impressive last year, looking at the roads and seeing like 15-foot walls of snow on either side of the road. Jeez, impressive. All right, well, that'll about do it for this edition of Bottom Gear. Yeah, I'm not going to play the theme again.
we know what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, let's see, I'm trying to go through. Yeah, the show notes are going to stay in the order they are, even though we've been bouncing all over the place. Everything's there. So let's see. We already talked about the late night QRM roundtable several times. Oh, Michael's got a story. And I got oops, I almost played it again. Michael's got a story about Ingress.
Acquiring position. Downloading latest Intel package.
Yes, well.
Okay, go ahead. That's a 24-second intro. Go ahead.
So I've had an opportunity to go out on Ingressing with both of my sons now.
Yeah.
My oldest son, he started later, so we just finally leveled him up to level 2. Wow. And my youngest son, Mark, has been out there aggressively going after it, and Friday during the day, I had to make a run to town, so Mark came with me, and we were able to level him up to level 4. So nice. he's starting to get some firepower now.
Yeah.
But those are the first two times I've actually gone out and played Ingress with somebody else. That was a hoot.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot more fun with another person, because you can do a lot more. The only thing I did this week, I did...
Mark's like, you know, I'm firing away, or actually, he's firing away.
Yeah. Michael?
Sorry, delay again.
Oh, okay.
Yes?
I wasn't sure whether you dropped out or whether it was the delay. So, the only Ingress thing I did was, Milford went green this week. So, I think it was Tuesday I stopped it by and turned it blue again and gathered about 200,000 AP doing it. So I'm up to 33,200,000 and some change. So I need 4 million for level 10. So, getting there. It's just a slow pace.
I'm still working it all night.
Uh-oh, where'd that come from?
What's that?
Acquiring position.
No, there we go.
The bling. I thought I had everything turned off. That was a male bling. And I don't know, maybe it didn't come from me. So anyway, okay, so yes, and the only other news from Ingress is apparently some other thing in the story's going on, blah-de-blah-blah-blah-blah. And I think portal resonator decay rate is going to be 4 days or something like that. So that's better than the 3 days it was, but it was a lot better at 7 days.
Yep.
But so they're going to change it back. And then now they want us to go out and get a billion. Well, because the last time to change it, you needed to go, both teams had to get a total of 700 million points. Okay. What do you call it? MU points. And apparently they did that with no sweat. So now they want us to go out and get a billion points. And there's a lot of people, at least on the resistance side, are saying, yeah, no, we're not doing that. You know, the whole idea of the story is, you know, the resistance doesn't want these MU units out there because they're bad for humanity and stuff. So we're supposed to be taking them down, and all you're trying to do is make us join up and create these fields. So there's a big movement out there that says, yeah, don't do that. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to the storyline. Because the storyline's dumb. but the game's fun. So, but there are some people that like the storyline, so you have to be careful what you say. So, anyway. Uh-huh. Anybody else ain't got any Ingress moments this week?
No.
No. I forgot all about it in my travels today.
Oh, jeez, Barty, you're probably... Well, you said you were in blue... In the blue zone anyway.
Yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot to hit, because, you know, you don't want to go hacking a lot of blue, you know.
Well, you can hack the blue.
You can hack them, you just can't attack them.
Yeah.
You always hack every portal you can, blue portal you can find. You always want to hack them, but you...
Well, I thought hacking took things out of them.
No. It just replenishes
your stock.
But they restock.
It restocks.
It really depends on who you are and what you get out of it.
Well, yeah.
So, you don't worry about that. You hack every single portal you come past. Even green ones. You'll get zapped a little, but...
I always hack green ones.
Yeah.
I thought that was the point, was hacking green ones.
No, you attack green ones. You can hack green ones.
I do both. I hack it, then I attack it.
Yeah, you can do that. You don't get as much out of a green one as you do out of a blue one. Blue one will give you more stuff. But you don't get any AP points for doing it.
Yeah, I didn't want to be taking anything away from the blue ones.
Oh, no, you don't. Don't worry about that. No, it's kind of like an endless supply. You know, I'm sitting there collecting keys for a couple places here, you know, and every day I throw the keys into my container, and then I go past and hack it and get another key, and I've been doing that every day, you know, twice a day, actually. A couple of them.
What container?
You can get a container. Eventually, if you hack enough, you will get a
canister.
I think it's, yeah, canister. And then
capsule.
Gotcha. That's it.
Container.
Yeah, whatever. Capsule. Yeah, it begins with a C.
A mayonnaise jar.
Hermetically sealed. And you can put stuff in there. And when, like, you put keys in there, then the keys kind of your scanner doesn't know you have the keys, so it'll collect the same key over and over again.
And that's a good thing?
Yeah, that's a good thing, because if you go out, like for example, when I hit Milford, right, I attacked all of Milford, and then I fielded it up. That's why I got 200,000 AP. But, you know, if I only got one key every time, you know, I only could have one key for every place, I would have to field it up the way I was fielding it up, I'd have to walk all over the town like 15 times. But if I, every time I go through Milford, I put my Milford keys in the canister and or container or capsule.
Mayonnaise jar.
Yeah, the mayonnaise jar. Then every time I go through, I get another key, and then I get a collection of keys, and then I can sit there and go back, and when I'm fielding up, I can stand at one and say, okay, I need a key for there, and I need a key for there, and I need another key for there. Oh, I need the same key for this one over here, and I don't want to walk all the way across town to get it. So, but, oh, look, I've got one in my capsule. And so you can use them, and it just makes it easier. And not
thanks
that,
for reminding me. I got to charge up my resonators.
Yeah, and then the other thing too is we trade off keys, because in order to make really big, large fields, you need people that live in really far off places to gather keys, and then you meet them halfway, and you can trade keys, and then that way you can go back home, and they'll have some of your keys, and you'll have some of their keys, and then you can make large fields. So.
Yeah, I remember Arlo Guthrie singing about coming into Los Angeles carrying a couple of keys. He was worried about the custom man busting him, though.
Different keys. Different keys.
Yeah. Oh, I could just see us going across the Canadian border. You got anything to declare? Oh, a capsule full of keys?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. besides, I don't think I can play Ingress much over in Canada, because I'm going to have to turn my data off, probably.
I want to leave mine ripping.
Yeah, you can. I don't want to pay $200. I don't want to have a $200 phone bill just on data.
Yeah, we found out how well that works for Michael, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me. I have to go cancel that plan.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think it's, you know, you can get it, and it doesn't cost that much, but, you know, it only gives you, like, what, 10 meg or something like that? Something stupid.
Well, if you buy the package, it's 100 meg for 25 bucks, but I had actually bought a better package than that. It just never worked on the data side.
Hmm. Okay. I may have to look at that before we travel, because I would like to keep my data on. So, anyway. Okay. So
speaking of that trip, Mike, you know, I know you guys have already talked about that, but I'm really getting into all those podcasters that you were talking about. Really turned me on to some really great shows. I've pretty much anything that Anthony does, I've been subscribing to, as well as Slug as Doug, as we had talked, as you guys had talked earlier. Mm-hmm. Man, they got some pretty cool stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I listen to them. I listen to Up in This Brain.
Yep, don't forget Jason.
Jason and Mark My Words and
Mark Lovis.
Walking with Dave.
Shane.
Yep.
Shane B.
And I'm just kind of going through my head the ones I was listening to today, because, you know, I've got them all in there, and it's pretty cool.
Trying to find time to listen to all that stuff.
Yeah, long commute. That's when I listen to them. Long commute and a big yard. So when I'm cutting grass and... Oh, and now that I'm running, yeah, I listen to them when I'm running, too. So I got plenty of time to listen to podcasts. That's one thing. So, and if I've forgotten any, I'm sorry, but I don't have my list in front of me, but I pretty much am subscribed to a bunch of podcast from up there. And what's his name? The Zed Pod. What's he called it now?
Bruce. Zed, yeah. Zed Blast.
Zed Blast, yeah. He's had several now. That's pretty cool.
I can't believe how many shows Anthony puts out, man.
Oh yeah, I mean,
Soul Prerogative is really neat, man. It's funny.
Oh, it's really cool.
To all that old soul music.
You know what? I tried to get into it. Put that in my downcast so it would automatically, and I've tried 5 times to get it to go into downcast and it won't take it.
Really?
I don't know why.
It'll work. You got to get the feed in there, though. It's difficult. But yeah, you can get it.
I do everything through iTunes.
Hmm.
I tried it through that, too.
Oh, and just to follow up, the one I reviewed last week, Pocket Cast.
Yeah.
Still using it. Still going strong. Still like it. So, I'm really digging it. So yeah, I think I've switched off of Downcast and gone to Pocket Cast, and mostly because of the cross-platform capability of syncing. So somebody is recharging their.
Well, that would be me. I've had the same here. Here's the weird thing. I've had the same portal. Yeah. You know, when you can go and see, you know, who owns it and blah, blah, blah. I've had the same portal for 6 weeks now.
Shh. Don't let anybody know. You're the guardian of that now.
I don't know how someone hasn't taken it over, you know, gone green and then back to blue with somebody else.
I've got a couple guardians.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sorry, 8 weeks.
There's a badge for that, and you've probably already gotten the first, the bronze for that.
It looks like a key.
What?
Of sorts. The badge, I think, for this thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Guardian one. I forget which one it is. But yeah, you can. But you got to be careful because we suspect that the Greenies have have a database out there because last week. Oh, that was another thing. Did that happen last week or the week before? Maybe I talked about this. Yeah, one of the guys went through Amherst, went right past four other blue portals. And went to one particular portal and took that one out. And there was another portal within walking distance of that one that he skipped. And then he went up into Merrimack. And that one particular portal, another agent got on the faction talk and said, oh, my God, I had that portal. It was untouched for 83 days. Of course, 90 days is a magic number to get your gold.
Right.
A guardian badge for that. And he took it out at 83. So we are suspecting that they are scraping the info, the intel map, and they have a spreadsheet of all the Guardian, everybody's Guardian portals and stuff like that. And every once in a while, you'll see these guys go out, and they'll just attack ones that are very close to 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you're not supposed to do that.
Of course you are, yeah. But you will.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that says you can't do it in the rules, but, you know.
There's rules?
Well, yeah, there are. If you don't pay attention to the terms of service, the TOS on that game, you can get banned real quick. Banned for life. And if you can convince them to let you back, they'll let you back, but it'll be at L1. So... and most of the time they just ban you for life. They have no problem banning people for life. So you do have to pay attention to the rules.
That sounds kind of draconian for a free game.
Well, it's Google.
It's Google.
What can I say? It's Google.
Oh, man. I had a fun experience with Google Maps today.
Yeah?
Yeah, part of the reason why I was late getting back here from Seattle was because I wanted to swing by Redmond and take pictures of Microsoft's headquarters.
Uh-huh.
So there's the quickest way from Seattle is to take go up Interstate 5 and then jump on State Route 520, and it takes off and goes towards Redmond. And there's a bridge that you go across, but the bridge is out, and Google doesn't know that the bridge is out. So no matter what I would do, I could not get Google Maps to give me a different route. So, you know, I was trying to go down a different way to find another bridge across the channel. And the whole way, Google kept trying to get me to turn back around and go over there. I kept trying to get it to recalculate, but it just would not take another one. I even tried, you know how you can physically drag the path over to this other thing? I did that. And it didn't stick. At first, it would. It was directing me towards it. And I was going, okay, good, good. This is right. And then it tells me to go in this direction. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. So I pulled over and looked. And sure enough, it had changed. And it wanted me to go back to the bridge that's closed. You know, and I was like, well, forget this. You know, there just got to be more trouble than it was worth to try to get there.
I'm telling you, you should have used... the Apple Maps, because I'm sure you would have gotten there via Vermont.
Well, I didn't have time to go to Vermont and back.
Actually, I gotta say, Apple Maps is getting better. They have been working on it. It's getting better. They just don't talk about it that much. But I still think Google's the best one out there. So, anyway, let's see. Let's go down the... we've talked about that, and... oh, Michael! So, you wanted to talk about the tower after the show.
Well, it's not after the show yet.
Michael?
Talk about the...
Huh?
Talk about the what?
Oh, the Brockway after the show last week.
So, yeah, we were talking, you know, after we stopped recording last week, I was still up in Brockway after working on the wind generator.
Uh-huh.
And we were just up there shooting breeze with you guys and started hearing firecrackers going off in the background. I'm like, oh, wonderful. You know, people have been up there watching the sunset.
I got to say, that was fun to listen to because Joel and I were listening to you in action. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The firecrackers? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, no, you what came next. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hear these firecrackers going off, and I'm thinking, oh, wonderful, great. But, you know, it's not really paying attention to that. Now, the top of Brockway, that bluff there, it's always windy, hence the wind generator. But the wind's always shifting directions. And we go from... and listening to the firecrackers off in the background. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I see these people light off a lantern. And at least that's what I call them, but you know what I'm talking about. It's basically it's a big paper bag with a lit candle or something in the middle of it, so it turns into a hot air balloon and lights up and floats up into the atmosphere. Well, except that with this wind, this thing lights up, starts to drift a couple feet above the ground, gets sucked down by a current and thrown into the side of the hill, and starts the grass on fire.
Nice.
And I'm up there. I'm in medic uniform with my Copper Harbor fire shirt on, and I'm talking to Barry and Joel. I said, excuse me, I got to deal with something right away. Turn the engine on the Jeep. I whip around this cul-de-sac, come around on these people with my brights on, and I let them have it. I was professional about it, but it's like, you have any real idea how close the nearest hydrant is? It's 4 miles away.
Yeah.
We're putting this out right now. You will not light another thing, or the next person you're going to see is the sheriff up here.
Yep. It was great. You were in action. Crazy.
And, but, oh, yeah. They
And they were like, ooh, sorry. Oh, sure, no, we won't do anything else again. Sorry.
I'm running down the hill and helping stomp out this fire with my boots. it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I was sorry we didn't actually have the show rolling at that point. That would have been entertaining.
Yeah, it would have. That was post-show, unfortunately. But, yeah.
They left post-haste after that.
Really?
That's good.
That's great. So, Perseid meteor shower is coming to a town near you?
That's already in progress. It's going to peak on the 12th or the 13th. Now, we've got the supermoon going on right now, so it's going to drown out some of them light-wise. But the nice thing about the Perseid or Perseid is it's known for fireballs.
Ah.
So if you get out there, you know, and watch it at the peak, especially, you should still see some spectacular slow moving ones.
So you'll be on the top of Brockway.
By the time you hear this episode, you'll be done. But
all right, so touche, touche.
I did it that way, Barry.
Yeah, but now that you bring it up,
touche. It gets done when I can get it done.
Well, you know, it's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday when it peaks.
Yeah.
So maybe by the time you listen to it, they can still run out and see it.
Yeah. Of course, Michael will be on top of
a pretty entertaining show.
Michael will be on top of Brockway Mountain
there,
going, excuse me, do you mind not shooting off those fireballs?
Excuse me, morons, do you see a fire hydrant anywhere near?
You know how popular hydrant is?
I need to find stupid for you. Now,
Oh, geez. So, yeah, I should probably try to get... Yeah, the supermoon is bright. Man, I'll tell you, last night I went to bed, and it was like a spotlight, a floodlight coming into the bedroom window with the supermoon, and this was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
At the, yeah, it was in the front of the house, and... yeah, it was just coming through. It made me look because it was like, what the hell is that light? And I looked, it's the moon.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to jump on your bandwagon here, but in a sideways fashion.
Okay.
The last time my beautiful bride and I stayed up at your place, yours and your beautiful bride's house, and we had the spare bedroom, which is absolutely wonderful and super comfortable. You know what I wasn't used to?
What?
How effing quiet and how effing dark it was. Holy shit. I mean, we live in the city. And so, you know, they had the window open and a fan on. And actually, no, before I turned the fan on, you're laying in bed. Uh-huh. And you shut the lights off. It gave a whole new goddamn definition of the word dark. I see my hand in front of my own face laying in bed. I went, Jesus, this is dark. I mean, there's always a glow here in the city coming, through the Venetian blinds, if you will,
yeah,
of some kind into the bedroom. And then I'm laying there, and, with everything turned off, and you could hear an owl fart 700 yards away. I mean, it's that quiet. And I'm like, I can't sleep like this. I need noise. I'm like turning on the oscillating fan, and I actually downloaded, to this day, I still have an app downloaded to my iPhone, which was called Nightlight, because I needed some friggin' light in that room for me to sleep. I'm like, wow, this is country living, man. It is friggin' dark and quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same way at our house, and some of my wife's sisters, when they come to visit, get kind of freaked out the same way.
Yeah.
And they always have to have a night light on and all this kind of stuff, or they can't sleep. And the stillness of the night really irks them. They just can't get used to it.
You know what? I'm so used to hearing, running down up and down Main Street or off the side streets in Nashua that becomes normal.
Yeah.
And when it is friggin', I swear to God, I heard a cricket burp, literally.
That was Barry.
Coming to my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think it's quiet here.
Holy shit.
Well, we'll have the bell ringing at Michael's place.
You'll be in downtown Copper Harbor.
Oh, that's right.
You'll have a little bit, but... Yeah. Once I leave the brewery, especially if it's a new moon and it's just dark out, once I leave the brewery and hit the edge of town, it's a mile and a half of dark through the woods to get to the cabin. I mean, no street lights, no nothing. It's just dark.
D-A-R-K, dark.
Yeah. Well, here it's kind of cool when I take Sammy out for last outs and stuff. Sometimes you go out there and it's so quiet, and you do hear, you were talking about owls. You'll hear an owl and then another owl, like, across town, practically. One owl will be going, hoo-hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo-hoo, like that, and it just reverberates off the hills and stuff like that, and then you'd have a owl answer them across town, and they'll just have this conversation back and forth. It's wild. It really is.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Out there, knowing my luck, I'd be standing out there and you hear, ch 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 ca 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 ca. And you know what the next sound you'd hear? Chick, chick. That's me pulling the slide back and putting around in the chamber.
Yeah, jeez.
You're not the Jason I was looking for.
Exactly.
I love it. When they get these super moons, even a full moon, but the super moons especially, you go out, I'll take Sammy out for last outs, and I can actually take him down the hill, as we call it, down in my side yard there. You got shadows. It's so bright out there that you actually have shadows, moon shadows.
Moon shadow.
Yeah. And although I don't particularly care for going down the hill at 2 o'clock in the morning, because you don't know
that's where the effing monsters live, dude. I'm telling you,
you don't know what you're going to meet down there.
All them crazy mountain men psychos live down that hill. Just saying.
No, I'm thinking of more the wild variety, like bears and bobcats and whatever else that come out at night.
And then you take the doggy for a walk with a 357 Magnum in your back.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, so. Anyway, okay, let's see. We got through that, and I think we're, oh. Michael, you purchased, what's a ProJive adapter?
Well, I'm going to be purchasing. I got the information after getting the update from Anthony Marco. He's getting ready for his cross-country trip down to Texas for the next podcast show that he's going to. And I was just wondering if this is the same cable that Joel got, but it's no, because it's USB. But it's a XLR in for plugging into a microphone with the standard four, but it's the standard 4-pin 3.5 millimeter jack to plug into an iPhone or an Android, and then it also has another. It's got the 3.5 millimeter plug with four prongs on it, or the four contacts on it for a smartphone, and then it has a separate headset jack. So it allows you to use an XLR microphone with a smartphone or an iPad or tablet.
Now, that sounds a lot more advanced than the one I have. I'm actually digging around here in the dust drawer.
Because you've got the USB version, don't you?
XLR to USB. And mine's a 3-pin XLR to USB 2.0.
Okay, so this is XLR to smartphone or tablet adapter, and it's about $36 on the net.
Okay.
And it sounds like a pretty cool thing to try out. I'm going to do it, because then I can actually use my Shure microphone with Boss Jack.
Sure, that would be cool, because I tried to use Michael's Shure microphone with the Mac Mini, and it works. It sounds great, and then it starts to do that pop that Barry was saying.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. No, are you sure?
I'm trying to find the box I bought, which I brought up here, and I can't find it.
Promptly lost.
it's up here in a pile somewhere. Yeah, I'll find it. But that I can mine. I can plug into a computer USB port, but I can also. It's got a cable that I can plug it into an iPad. It's got a 40-pin cable, so I got to check and see whether my adapter will allow me to plug it into a Thunder. What do you call it? The Thunder port. The Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt. Right. Yeah. Love Thunderbolt.
Yeah. Joel's showing his.
This is called a ProJive, all one word, and the company's name is CableJive, and you can look it up on Amazon or wherever. They're all over the place.
Oh, I found mine. The box is right behind me. Mine's an iTech Solo, and it's a box, and it's got controls on the front to control your volume and your monitor. It's got monitoring capabilities. It's got a USB port on it, and it's powered off of a USB device. Oh, that's the only other thing. I think I have to, if I plug it into an iPad or an iPhone, I gotta power it off the USB separately. And
Oh no,
it came with a power cable.
Hot damn. Okay.
And yes, it's got a 40-pin adapter for an iPad or an iPhone, and I have an adapter that'll take that down to Thunderbolt. So,
mine's the Hashimoto screen door fence and laundry brand.
I might have to bring this along for the trip. Because then I got my good microphone, my good dynamic microphone, and we could use that in the Prius.
In the Prius.
What trip is this, Barry?
The one to Copper Harbor.
Yep, we're going on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Late September. Well, mid-September.
Is that what that roundtable entry was earlier?
Yes.
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 Yes, we're going by way of Canada. Canada. My home away from home, which I loved as a kid and want to go back and visit again.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to take a few days off and drive out there.
That's September 18th to the 21st for all six listeners.
Right. And we'll have shows along the way, I'm sure. The feed will be busy with stuff.
So you guys going together? Like following each other up?
No, we're going to go in the Prius. Take the Prius.
That many people in a Prius?
Yeah, the clown car.
It'll still go up hills?
Well,
it's... yeah, it'll go.
That's only if we hit snow.
No, because we know the secret top decoder.
That's right.
Mode. You know, square, circle, up, break, start, left.
And yeah.
And shut that off.
And we can shut that off. That's true. So it shouldn't be a problem. But, yeah, we're going to drive out and drive back. And we'll record lots of shows along the way. Our adventures are...
You mean the traction disable wasn't included in your software upgrade?
Oh, I never thought about that. Jeez, I wonder if it'll still work. I don't have a button to turn it off. That's the problem. So, you still have to do the gas pedal, start, break, turn signal, open door, honk horn 3 times. Yeah.
And then it'll shut off.
Make Joel bang on something at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're taking the... When Joel and I drive in it, we call it the clown car.
Yeah, it must seem
so,
that way.
Yeah, so...
Well, it by default, it becomes a low rider.
Yeah.
Low rider.
That's right.
There you go.
Those guys are still touring, by the way.
Really?
Is it all the originals?
It's most of the originals. They have changed the name, and I'm trying to remember why. But they were just in town. Like, they were in Calumet 2 summers ago. And I would have gone, but I didn't recognize the name. And then, I ran into a bunch of people that had just come from the show. And, why are you singing that? Well, they were just here. Like, what?
Crap. Wow.
Oh, yeah, man. They had to change your name for, I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Joel's got a restaurant review.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. My beautiful bride and I, for the second time, tried and went over to... I'm trying to remember what the heck the reason was. Originally, my wife, had to go to her eye doctor.
Uh-huh.
And so we left the eye doctor's. This is about two weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'm kind of peckish. And I said, Well, what are you in the mood for? She's like, really, breakfast? And it was a little afternoon.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, where can we go? And there's a place... It's called the Cracker Barrel.
What exit were you at?
Londonderry exit. So okay. I think it'd be exit 4 off of Route 3.
Yep, because Cracker Barrels are only at exits of.
Don't you like the air there?
And everything smells like cinnamon apples. It's incredible. I mean, I didn't think you can pump that much cinnamon apple room freshener into an air conditioning system. But honestly, it smells fantastic. If you fart, it smells like cinnamon. I mean, it just permeates the air. It's an early rustic Americana kind of decor. But the service, I mean, one, I like the place because it's airy. In other words, it's open. You don't feel cramped.
Right.
The food is fresh.
Do they have the store with it?
Yes, they have the store, the gift shop.
Oh, the stores.
Yep, in the front. Yep.
You've never been to one of those, Joe?
Well, me, I actually, when I had gone there 2 weeks ago, it brought back the memory when I was actually down at Juki. When I was down at training in North Carolina, I went and had breakfast at a Cracker Barrel, which I had never been to before in my life.
Yeah, so it's a chain. I'm sorry.
It's nationwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so actually, but there's only 3 in New England. You know that? I was looking on their website, and I drive past two of them.
Yeah. Well, they're usually right off of interstates.
Yep.
Most of them.
But oddly enough, there's a sign out front that says no tractor trailers.
Right. Yeah, it's for regular cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite meal when I go to Cracker Barrel, of course, we've gone there. Usually, when I visit my sister, we go to Cracker Barrel at least one night, and. They have good country fried steak.
Oh, the country fried steak and the country fried, chicken fried chicken.
Yeah, chicken fried chicken.
Chicken fried chicken with the country white gravy on it.
Yep, it's the white gravy that does it, man.
Oh, it's like a pepper. It's like a peppery.
And, and, And if it was breakfast, I'd get SOS or whatever they call it there.
Shit on a shingle?
Well, that's what I call it. That's what we called it in the military, SOS.
Right.
But, you know, it was gravy and biscuits or whatever.
Cream chip beef.
Yeah, cream chip beef. That's it. Yeah.
And gravy on toast.
Yeah.
Tony, my wife loves that stuff, too. Yeah. My dad used to make it all the time, but then again, he was a cook in the Army for 20 years, so he was very familiar with it.
Yeah.
I ate so much shit on a shingle as a kid because of my dad, same exact reasons that I actually don't like the stuff now.
Oh, really? Oh, I love it.
I'm like, you know what?
I never liked it from day one, and I don't like it now.
I won't touch it, but I mean, like, I got the country breakfast, so I had, you know, 5 eggs over easy, ham steak, sausage, 2 blueberry pancakes, 2 strips of bacon, 5 cups of coffee, cinnamon apples, and a bowl of grits.
Yeah, grits.
And I normally don't eat anywhere near that much with the food so good. I'm like, okay, time to do one of the 7 deadly sins, gluttony. And I am going to eat myself sick on this food. And that's exactly what I did. I don't need to eat again. And at pretty much just before the show, I sat down and had some toast. That was it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, really, really good food. The service is awesome. Yeah. I mean, the people are wicked nice there. One thing I had noticed, which really I think is really way cool, and Debbie and I were talking about this, which is I noticed that a number of the staff there, you know, they would imagine it must be a Cracker Barrel thing. They follow the ADA, you know, the American Disabilities Act, because some of the folks there, had one thing or another, if you will, that would, you know, qualify them as part of the ADA. Or as a disabled American, and you know what the nice thing is they're in there and they're working.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I thought that was the coolest effing thing. I mean, I'll go back. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if the food was shit, I wouldn't go back. But if the food happens to be fantastic, the service is fantastic. Right. But it made me feel real good to see that, you know, I got a lot of friends of mine that got really banged up and are permanently disabled from various reasons. And, the fact of the matter is that, you know, rather than there's a spot that they can go and get a job and work and have pride and feel good. And, you know, I thought that was the coolest damn thing ever. And I my server, as a matter of fact, the lady who was taking care of Debbie and I, I noticed she was missing her hand, her right hand. And I mean, it's just as a matter of fact, it's not like you sit there and you're going to stare or whatever. It's just somebody who's, you know, I hate the cliche terminology, but in this instance, and I think it does apply, you're just differently, you know, that differently able thing, but it's really true. Okay. Yeah. You're missing a hand. You make do and you have a workaround.
Right.
But you know, it doesn't make you any difference one way or another, as far as who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And, she was the most pleasant lady, and it's one of those things where I thought, quite frankly, and this is total compliments to her, I happen to have both my right and left hands, and I would have dropped all the food on that tray within the second step of coming out of the kitchen. Yeah. I have no idea how she was able to do it. Because, I mean, I had like 9 plates worth of food myself, and I went, how? I mean, I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm like, it's a phenomenal sense of balance. But awesome place to eat. You know, they support your local community. Good food, and it's for short money. And if you're on the road and you're traveling through the States and you see a Cracker Barrel, I highly recommend stop. It's not a bunch of frozen crap that's reheated. It's real. It's actual real food. It's good.
And the rocking chairs are comfortable out front.
I almost bought one for $149.
Well, you know.
What's
Go ahead.
I was like, Debbie was sitting on one because we ate, and we went to the gift shop, and we always check out the stuff in the gift shop. And we went outside, and we're sitting in the rocking chair because it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And she's like, this chair is so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? You want me to buy it? We'll go buy it. I don't know how I'm going to jam it in Wilson, but we'll find a way.
With bungee cords, you can achieve anything.
Exactly. In the trunk, with the bungee cord, the trunk halfway down. And off we go. She's like, no, we'll wait. I don't want it to be a spontaneous purchase, but I have a funny feeling I'll be going back for a rocking chair as well as a good meal.
Yep. Yeah, I love cracker barrels.
Yep.
So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, all those crackers do.
So, Joel, last week you were talking about being fearful and nervous.
Before you go to that, I want to, I'd like to chime in and say that I second Joel's review of Cracker Barrel. Tony and I have been eating at Cracker Barrel's for years because she loves the place. So she's the one that introduced me to the chain. Mm-hmm. And we've eaten at Cracker Barrel's in a lot of different places. And what you experienced at the one you stopped at is actually rather typical.
Yep.
It's very, very rare that you run into a Cracker Barrel that disappoints you. But all the people in there always tend to be very friendly. They treat you like friends. Mm-hmm. They're always seem like they're happy to see you and things.
Yeah,
and the food is really does taste like it's like a home cooked meal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, home cooked. It doesn't taste like it's frozen, and I don't think it is. Honestly,
I just wanted to say that, you know, from a long experience eating at Cracker Barrel's all over the place, that it is a really good chain.
Well, it's it's one of those chains that's kind of cool because if you see one, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, but talking about eating at those, as Barry was starting to go into, you're going to have trouble chewing for a while?
No shit. Is that right, Joel? Yeah.
Well, we started the conversation last week.
Yeah. I heard that.
Yeah.
All right. First and foremost, I'll start. So what we were talking about for the six listeners that don't know where we're going with this, I was scheduled to get a root canal, my first root canal, which as... it was explained to me by my dentist, who I now say has the hands of an angel. he explained, he goes, it's basically a really deep fill, filling. Like if you're going to get a filling, it's just deeper. And I went, oh, I've had fillings and cavities before, no big deal. However, I know it's a bit more extensive than that because this tooth is broken to begin with. I will say, on top of that, when I had said to my dentist, Dr. Anthony, I said, okay, I research everything to death. I will reverse engineer it. That's what I get paid to do. Figure out how things work and make them better. But here's what I'm going to research up to the fact that I know you have about four different grades of Novocaine at your usage here in your office as an average. I can't say for sure, but I'm gonna take an educated guess. And the really, 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 really good, potent, extra with sprinkles on top Novocaine is the stuff that you guys will put in the bottom drawer in the back of that little wheelie cabinet, because you don't want that to be the default go-to stuff because it's the most expensive. Well, that's the shit we're going straight to, because if I feel anything while you're working in my mouth, I'm coming out of this chair, and we're both having a bad day. Because I don't dig dental work. I mean, I as a kid, I went religiously, was taken for cleanings and for dentists, and if I had a cavity, and I never had an issue or a problem or fear of the dentist in any way, shape, or form. That didn't happen until I was in my late 30s, late 30s. When I had to get an extraction, and it went horribly sideways. And ever since then, I've been apprehensive. Well, to say I'm a bit apprehensive is like saying, an oil fire, an oil rig fire is just a, you know, same as a campfire. I'm very, very apprehensive. So, anyway, I went in there. He hit me with the good stuff. He says, no, we're using the good stuff. I says, we're sure now. He goes, absolutely. He says, I'm not going to, because I don't want to have a bad day at work. And I don't want you, he says, I'm supposed to tell you, I don't want my patients to feel any discomfort or pain. He says, but the real reason is, he says, I don't want to have a bad day at work because you're coming out of the chair sideways because you're hurt. So I use the good shit all the time. And I went, I like the way you think, Doc, and I appreciate the honesty. He hit me with the needles and the thing, and then he did a nerve block off the roof of my mouth. And, I felt, you know, pressure, but I felt absolutely no pain when they were digging that root out of that tooth, which I'm convinced he was drilling to the base of my fucking brain via that tooth, because I think he had about 7 inches of drill bit up in that hole. It seemed like, I mean, he's... I've made less noise drilling girders.
You know you're in trouble when he reaches for the bit extension.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when he grabs the dental drill and it says Makita on the side, you're thinking, shit, we're getting out the good tools. But I had the drill and the
I don't know what the hell is on them little paper swabs. I think it's an acid that they use to dissolve part of the nerve and root when he's cleaning out the cavern where they just drilled.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was pain-free. Honest to God, aside from the needles, which was the first one with the Novocaine, it was a pain-free experience.
Wow.
Just pressure.
Great.
And that was it. And then I said, so what am I getting? Am I getting this, are you back filling it in with, you know, I don't know, mortar, cement, what? And he said, no, temporary filling. I said, temporary? He said, yeah. He goes, I do a temporary filling. I want to make sure there's no infection, no issue with the root canal, with the drilling of the tooth in any way, shape, or form. He says, and then from there you come back. We take the temporary shit out. I call it shit. I'm sure there's a technical medical term, but I don't know what it is. Backfill it with the permanent good shit. Then they put the post and a crown on. He says, shape, and everything's shaped up because you're done. And I went, wow, that's $1,895 after insurance. But you know what? I up until today, you know, I had the that first day. I have to say, when you're back, you do get what I guess your other teeth around that tooth hurt. From the, you know, them working in the area.
Yeah, I think it's more wear and tear on them. Yeah.
Right, wear and tear on the other teeth around the area.
Yeah.
And the gum line where your tooth is at, where they just remove the nerve, the gum is sensitive.
Yeah.
But, and it felt like someone parked a school bus in my fucking mouth when they had my shit in there. And I'm like, hi, 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 hi. I mean, it was really odd. So you're eating mushy stuff, mac and cheese and Jell-O and that kind of stuff. But today, I'm still chewing on the opposite side. He said, whatever you do, do not chew on that tooth.
Hmm.
I don't know why. He goes, this is a temporary filling. It's not designed to be chomped on. It's essentially, it's a hollow tooth.
Hmm.
And he said, when I fill it with the regular stuff and put the crown on, then you can eat with it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that because I never realized just how much I miss biting into a sandwich, you know, head on.
Yeah.
Or you know, eating corn on the cob off the ear.
Yeah.
Because you know, but realistically, it was a good experience. I'm not saying it's. I'm not going to say it's going to be my. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, all right, go to the movies or get a root canal. Go to the movies, root canal. Root canal. It's not a choice there. But
I try to avoid both.
It was. I'm really glad. I listened to my beautiful bride once again, who. As far as I'm concerned, she's right 99% of the time. When I don't listen to her, it's usually when I get myself in the rough, if you will, to use a golf term. And which is another thing, another side topic, but I know we're going long. So it was good.
Not us.
It was a good experience. I'm looking forward to getting the crown and being able to chew on that tooth, because I tell you what, I love soup. I really do love a good soup, but I was getting a little tired of eating it all for every friggin' meal.
Yep.
So the Cracker Barrel was kind of a treat today, too. I sit down and have breakfast and enjoy it a bit and be able to chew a bit more like a regular human being. So that was cool. I'm kind of worried how he's going to get this permanent or this temporary filling shit out of that hole, because I know I've chomped down on it a couple times, and it just packs up in there nice and deep. So.
He'll get it out. They'll use the drill again.
That's great. You know, when I got my tattoos, I got one sleeve for all six listeners. One arm is sleeve. When they take the machine and they go over an area that's real close to the bone, say, oh, I don't know, your elbow, you feel every hit of those needles all the way through the entire length of the bone in that arm. And it fires off every nerve. That's why it hurts. I have to say, that experience is probably more unpleasant than the drilling for the root canal.
Wow. Wow. Jeez.
To put it in perspective. I mean, really? It's both are equally friggin' irritating, and both vibrate the bone. Now, granted, with the root canal, it's your skull. So you feel your skull vibrating inside, and you're like, all right. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but this is irritating. And, but yeah, and to put it in a perspective, it was, I'd say it didn't, it hurt. Getting a tattoo on a sleeve on your elbow hurts a shitload more than getting a root canal. So that's saying something, because I'll get tattoos any day of the week, but I don't like getting dental work if I don't have to.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe tattoo artists should look into Novocaine.
They actually, you know what? The funny thing is, they actually sell a smear-on gel.
Really?
That they can put on that will numb the skin.
Oh, the surface stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's the tattoo machine. The needles only go down three to four layers, maybe five layers of the seven of skin.
Yeah.
It should not typically, as a rule, draw blood.
Right.
That's how. Yeah. It doesn't go in that deep, and they can numb the skin with the what they call that the pussy gel.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. Oh, man. Okay, well, we're getting long in the tooth, and last week we gave him practically...
Oh, that was well played.
Oh!
Long in the tooth. That was well done. Well done.
NPI. NPI. No pun intended. that was just a lucky one. Last week we gave him nearly a no agenda length podcast because I was uncut. And I'm looking at the clock here, and of course this will get cut back a little bit, but we're at two hours and 33 minutes.
So, ouch. I'm out of bourbon anyway.
It may be, it may not be that long, but and I am out of rum and vodka. So.
Oh no, the booze has run out. It's time to end the show.
So we got to end it before we sober up. and so we do have a.
We become a whole lot less entertaining.
Yeah, really. We do have a musical guest this week. The musical guest is because I found them again and I already played part of their song, I figured I'd play the entire song. It's Bob and Doug McKenzie featuring Geddy Lee and Take Off.
Yay! I love that song.
So that's our music going, our music guest this week. And as we always say at the end of each late night QRM, we want to thank all the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for being out there on the front line. And especially you OCONUS guys, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
From the great northwest corner of the United States in Washington, this is Barty.
And from the Man Cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael the Virtual Weaver.
All right, thanks everybody. That's show 149. Big show 150 next week. Woohoo!
Woo!
Until then, we'll see you. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week. And here's Bob and Doug McKenzie featuring Geddy Lee.
Okay, be real nice to him, eh?
Okay.
Okay. This is the hit single section of our album.
Good day.
Good day. Geddy Lee is here from Rush. Hi, Geddy. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, Geddy?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Good day, eh?
Good day. Good day. Thanks for coming down to do our hit.
Well, it's my pleasure, eh?
Did our lawyer call you?
Yeah. I'm, $10 is $10.
I hope you don't mind, but there's a photographer that's going to be taking pictures of us together to prove that you are here doing the record.
In case people don't believe us.
Yeah. How come he's not wearing a toque?
Oh, he's not from the Great White North, eh?
Okay, so if you'd like to put on a toque and some headphones, we can do the hit single now.
Sure.
Okay?
That'd be great.
Do you have the lyric sheet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I memorized them.
Oh, great. Beauty.
Okay. How did you do that so fast?
I'm a professional, eh?
Oh, we'll just sit over here, like, while you're singing, eh?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Good luck, eh?
Good okay.
luck. Okay. This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, beauty, go. Okay. Good day and welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie and this is my brother Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, this record was my idea.
Get out.
It was.
You're lying.
He, Hosehead here, just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
We agreed to say that, but...
Oh, take off.
Take off through the great white door. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Decent singing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, right, because we're a band now. And, yeah.
Well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Oh, get out. It is not.
It
you're
is
lying.
So.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
It's like it was sung by angels.
Hey, Hosehead.
Yeah, what?
Guess what?
What?
It's over.
Take off. That
no,
can't be.
It is, yeah. It is. Because, well, hit records are short.
Like, no way.
Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So, good day.
Good day.
Hey, you guys.
What?
Take off.
Hey, no. Hey, don't go.
No, come back, eh?
Look what you did. Everybody's gone.
You
see you.
Come back. I won't let him do it again.
Yeah, my fault was
yeah, your
yeah,
fault.
Such a hoser.
There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, hoser.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'll do a solo album.
Fine, and you'll be looking for me
yeah,
like
I
on
will
another
not.
Label.
Oh, now everybody's gone.
Good
so.
Day.
Good day.
So, like, take off to the great white north.
Beauty.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
Jeez.
Take off, you hosers.
Hey. Getty, we like to thank you for coming on the album and singing on the hit single.
Well, it was my pleasure, eh? Like, I wish you guys, like, lots of success and everything.
Beauty. Thanks,
thanks
Getty.
A lot, eh?
Well, that's great.
You're welcome.
Okay. Like, if we do another one, maybe you could do it?
Well, slow down, eh?
Okay. One at a time, right?
Don't
okay.
push the guy,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, okay, okay. Sorry. But, you know, like, thanks for this one.
Thank you.
No,
and
no sweat.
Yeah.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Samson, speak. Good boy.